Well, 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 my friends. How are we tonight? Tonight on The Best Show. The Best Show. This is The Best Show. How about that? My name's Tom Sharpling. We've got an exciting program planned for you tonight. We've got Julie Klausner is going to check in a little bit. We've got the topic tonight is it's basically crimes against showbiz. Crimes against showbiz. And these are the things. What we're going to do is you think of movies or songs or TV shows with lovable characters, seemingly lovable characters, or at least the stars of something, and what actual crimes are they committing in the course of their song, whether it be like Sweet Little 16 or Ferris Bueller during his day off. And then we're going to talk to a lawyer a couple times during the show, and she's going to tell us what crimes they committed and what they would be sentenced to. You got that, Mike? AP Mike is here, the call screener of The Best Show. Who doesn't love AP Mike? Popular character on the show. Played by AP Mike. Played by a guy named Mike. The character AP Mike. So we're going to have a fun show. The phone number, 201-332-3484. And my friends, I want to tell you that tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Kensington Books. And there's a book out now called No One Needs to Know by author Kevin O'Brien. Let me ask you, what secret is worth killing for? Again and again? Find out in No One Needs to Know, the latest electrifying thriller from New York Times best-selling author Kevin O'Brien. Taking inspiration from the infamous Charles Manson murders of 1969 and the darkest urban legends of Hollywood, No One Needs to Know is a fictional tale that follows the murder of a young actress, a cult's mass suicide, a cursed movie production, a relentless stalker, and two women who work in a food truck. No One Needs to Know is available everywhere books are sold. Learn more at KevinO'BrienBooks.com or at KensingtonBooks.com. That sounds like a book I would read. No One Needs to Know. I'm going to find out more about it. You should too. Now, without further ado, I give you The Best Show. The Best Show.
Jersey, back again.
Welcome to another installment of The Best Show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of The Best Show. Brought to you each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern Standard Time. And I know some people are like, I'll get these emails once in a while and somebody will be like, it's not Eastern Standard Time after Daylight Savings earlier. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be willfully ignorant on that one. EST, we call it. What am I running a watch shop? I'm supposed to make adjustments and things like that? What am I, a kindly old clock? Is this Hugo? Making clocks over here? Did they make clocks in Hugo? I think so. I think that was like kindly old clockmaker or something. I can't remember. Scorsese's best, Hugo. Nah, I can't watch you. That's one that you see. It's like, yeah, I saw Hugo. I did my fair share here with the thing. And it was like a love of old movies or something. I don't know. I don't love old movies. That's my problem with it. It's like, oh, these old movies. It's a tribute to the movie with the robot going, the man on the face on the moon or whatever. The one where the rocket lands on the moon and it's the face. It's like, I don't know. It's very important that was the first movie, I guess. I thought Melot's Sneeze was the first movie. Remember that? Melot's Sneeze? This guy Melot, he sneezed. Some dude filmed him. And can I also say, I don't buy the whole thing where, you know, everybody's like, yeah, they showed a movie in a theater and it was a train going toward the camera and everybody got up and ran. That must have been a pretty stupid crowd full of people. You actually thought you came to the thing. You knew there's no train station around when you came to this movie theater. And then a train came at the screen and you suddenly thought a train was going to run you down. I don't know, man. That sounds like straight up fiction to me. Everybody ran. They were scared. That might have been... That's some dumb people, man. They knew. Three people probably took the bait on that. Three, like, old people who at that point might have been from the 1700s. You're talking 1700s at that point, right? Bring Grandpappy, right? Grandpappy, you take him to the movies. Grandpappy might have been born in 1798. Yeah, he'll fall for it. This is a guy, the things he's seen, sliced bread hasn't even been invented yet. The things Grandpappy saw get invented. And now we're supposed to pretend that anybody beside him would fall for the train coming at the movie screen. Boy, those movies must have been bad back then. You imagine how bad you go to the movie theater and you watch, the idea that like Laurel and Hardy was like old timey, like he was like, it was like Star Wars for old timey people, right? The idea of these two, buffoons pushing a piano up a hill or whatever they did. I only know about Laurel and Hardy through what I learned from the show The Comedians. So it's them like that must have been mind blowing. Watching them shove a piano up a hill. I Not like now, man. Our minds get blown every day. The things we see. Right? You put a thing, you see a dog running against a fence with a deer. You got other videos, you got dogs putting on hats and... Right? Every day. The dog videos alone could drive one to the brink of sweet insanity. Speaking of sweet insanity, we heard some great music. La Luz! They have a new album out. It's called Weirdo Shrine. And it's on Hardly Art, and it's great. And I've just started listening to it, and I already love it. And the name of that song was Hey Poppy. I love it. La Luz. L-A-L-U-Z. And Hardly Art is the label. And you got to check all their stuff out. They're on a hot streak, man. Hardly Art. That Colleen Green record. The second La Luz album. I'm on board, man. And starting us off, yeah, we played it once before, now we played it again. The song's so nice, we played it twice. That's what you do in the summer. When you got a summertime hit, you play it. Caroma, the name of the band. The name of the album is Caromarama. You know this guy, Will Berman. He's in MGMT. Played on Congratulations, one of the best albums of the last 15 years. But this is his new band, man. And this song was called 20 Plus Centuries. It's the good stuff. You don't mess around with Caroma. I'm on board. I'm on board. So we're going to give tickets away for the Sharpling and Worcester live shows tonight. We're giving tickets away for the Sharpling and Worcester live shows. So I'm going to give a pair of tickets away for each city. How about that? A pair for Seattle, a pair for Portland, a pair for San Francisco, and a pair for Los Angeles. You get those tour dates, you go to Stereo Laughs, which is stereolaffs.com/tour. And you look at those dates, the end of March, the end of August and beginning of September. Sharpling and Worcester take on the West Coast. So you get your tickets. But if you want to try to win the tickets, and look, it's going to be hard to win these tickets. So just buy them. Don't be a cheapo. Just buy them. Well, you got your short arms and long pockets. Once in a while, throw some money at something. For once in your life. How do you win these tickets? You go on Twitter. And you tweet at Sharpling. But you also tweet at AP Mike. And AP Mike's going to pick the winners of the tickets tonight. So you gotta get AP Mike, you gotta convince him, and say which city you want tickets for. What you want to be in the running for. You say which city you're looking for. And AP Mike will, at the end of the show, determine the winners from each city. At Sharpling, at AP Mike. These are Sharpling and Worcester tickets being given away for each of the four dates. We will be performing Seattle at Numo's on August 27th, right? Here we go. Here's the dates. Sharpling and Worcester playing Thursday, August 27th, Seattle, Washington at Numo's. Saturday, August 29th, Portland, Oregon at Doug Fir. Thursday, September 3rd, San Francisco at Great American Music Hall. and Saturday, September 5th, Los Angeles at the El Rey Theater. You get those tickets over at stereolaughs.com/tour. And I'm telling you, well, I know one of these shows is pretty much sold out. And other ones, the shoes, the dominoes are going to start dropping. Right, Mike? And you want those tickets, you tell AP Mike on Twitter. You got he's the arbiter of it. It's a dance. You got to dance for AP Mike. Boy, that's a sad state of affairs. Oh boy, I'm being told to go to the hotline because we have a powerful super guest is what it's called. Not just a normal guest, it's a super guest. I'm being told Julie Klausner is on the line. How are you, Julie?
I'm good, but it's a super guest.
It's a super guest. Well, you are a super guest because within a matter of hours, right? Hours. It went from months to weeks to days to hours now. Before your show, Difficult People.
Our show.
Our show.
Me in America.
You in America. So you're sharing it with, you consider America the co-owner of the show now. Oh, that laugh, that one was too far.
I'm so tired.
I'm sure you're tired. You're on every TV show. I turn on the TV and I see you're there with Andy Cohen, and then you're there with Larry.
Kindler. I'm there with Andy Kindler. Montreal.
You were? No, you weren't at that thing.
No, I wasn't there.
The state of the...
I don't have one of them new faces.
Well, he doesn't have a new face. He just goes up and does his state of the industry.
His shtick.
His shtick, yes. But every time I turn on the TV, it's Julie Klausner. Julie Klausner's on Kathy Lee and Hoda. Julie Klausner's on with Larry Wilmore. Julie Klausner's here. Julie Klausner's there.
It sounds like you're complaining.
I'm not. I'm in awe. I can't believe it's happening.
It's KTV.
It's KTV. Klausner TV.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what K stands for.
Wait, what does it stand for? What am I missing here?
Cake.
Oh, gay TV?
No, cake.
Cake TV.
Yeah.
Like the band Cake?
They're so good.
Well, you are like the band Cake because you're bonomp, bonomp, bonomp. You're going the distance. So, you have a show called Difficult People, and it airs on Hulu starting
tonight let me put it in terms that Friends of Tom will appreciate and understand and respect.
Yes.
When you go off the air tonight at midnight, you're going to hand me the baton?
The scepter.
Okay.
Yes.
And then at 12:01, it will be live on Hulu's website.
Yes. People can watch Difficult People, which is a show starring you and Billy Eichner. Now, Billy Eichner, people know from Billy on the Street, and people know you from
JulieKlausner.com.
From JulieKlausner.com or JulieKlausner.tumblr.com. Or so many. Or at Julie Klausner. But this show is the one where you did all of it. You wrote every episode of this thing.
I wrote, but people helped.
Yeah.
I wasn't, it takes a village.
It takes a village, but still, the buck stopped with the Klaus on this one.
It's KTV. I mean, that's our philosophy here at KTV.
Yeah.
I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
Wow, you are exhausted.
I'm so tired, but I'm so happy I get to talk to you.
I'm so happy.
I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you have a criminal attorney.
Yeah.
In proximity to the studio, and that makes me nervous.
Well, it comes down to we're trying to figure out different things that people that they like, what they would be found guilty of. Like Ferris Bueller, he's stealing a car.
Well, I mean, just the last, like, 10 minutes of Ferris Bueller when he's, like breaking and entering and running through yards and so forth.
Yeah, just trespassing. And, but the other things, he's, like, stolen identity, right? Doesn't he, like, he's, like, impersonating the Sausage King, first of all. That guy must not have loved being that. He ambushes a parade with no permit. So he just, I'm curious to see what he should be locked up for.
I can't wait. That is a brilliant topic, and I also like picturing every crime, objectively, crime that you've described being perpetuated as Matthew Broderick today. Because when he was in the movie, he was real cute.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, like, Matthew Broderick as he looks today, running through your home.
Yeah. With bent,
slower.
Yeah. That song. Man, that ska really. Remember when that ska got us moving back then? Oh, yeah. Remember Yellow? Yeah, Yellow and.
Yellow a ska band?
No, Yellow was a. Yellow was a band that was run by a bunch of these German goofballs who. They had this one idea that they were going to play Madison Square Garden, but only sell like 150 tickets to it. And then they could say that they sold out Madison Square Garden.
Oh my God.
And then they were going to put out an album like Yellow Live at Madison Square Garden, like sold out.
So they were pranksters. They were the original.
They were the Yes Men.
They were improv Everywhere. That's my German accent.
Yeah, they were improv. They were the German improv. They were the German proto improv Everywhere.
Yeah, I like that they left the W off the end of their name.
Yeah, it's maybe that's how it's just spelled in German. I don't know.
From what I heard in Hebrew school, they were just Nazis that couldn't get into South America.
So the guys from Yellow were the first Nazis turned away?
Yeah, because they were full. And one of them was Dr. Death.
And
cousin.
Wow, I did not know that. So
he was like, No, Dr. Death is my cousin. Call me Franz.
And then they were like,
yeah.
We will play these keyboards. And
and South America was like, nine, brother.
nine, brother. So, you difficult people. I want to hear more about difficult people. How many episodes are there this season?
Later time. I want you to dive into your topic.
No, we will. But look,
as a listener, I'm excited.
Okay, but difficult people, it's a matter of hours now. Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you, Tom.
It's been a long time coming.
I'm very proud of it, and I really am so excited for people to see it. And I feel really good about it, and I'm so happy that it's coming out.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. Look, I've seen a few episodes of this show. It's really funny, and it was one of the hardest things when I watched it with you there, and I was like,
yeah,
oh boy, I don't like watching anything with the person who made it. And then, within like 20 seconds, I was like, oh, no, this is legitimately funny. I'm okay here. I'm actually laughing at this thing, honestly. And it was the greatest feeling to know that you made something that I knew you'd make it great, but it was, to see it be great was so awesome. Everybody's going to love it. Everybody's going to watch Difficult People on Hulu.
I'm so excited for everyone who is going to see it, and if you don't like it, then don't tell me. I don't know.
yeah, exactly. Just keep it to yourself. I watch a movie. Of course. I watch a movie the other night.
You're a tough laugh.
I am a tough laugh. I usually just go, that's funny.
Yep. I've heard you fake it.
I've heard me fake it too. This show has beaten me, my natural laugh. It killed it. because it's bad for broadcasting, I feel.
I know. You can tell, too, like, it's almost like bird like Conan especially, who I love, but, like, when he has, like, some, you know, dullard on, and he's just like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Because it's, like, it's just, it's some, it's, as they say, walla. Walla.
Yeah.
That's another word that's, like, yellow.
Walla is what they, walla is just the rubber in, like, a cartoon or something.
Yeah, like, just, like, crowd noise.
Yeah. I was so embarrassed when I did a voice on Steven Universe, this cartoon, and then it said walla in the thing, and I didn't know what that meant, and I was like, do you guys just want me to say, like, walla here or something? And then they all went, oh, you dope.
Tom, you realize, though, you made an animated, like, experienced animator's day, because now he has a funny story to tell about the newbie, who was like, oh, you want this one guy one time.
Yeah, you know what I was like? I felt like De Niro in The Internship.
I did not see The Internship. I don't.
It's not out yet.
Vince Vaughn?
It's not out yet. De Niro, Hathaway, Internship. I can't wait.
You know what I'm looking forward to? And the only thing I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
Shaun the Sheep.
Shaun the Sheep comes out on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to one thing and one thing only.
Mm.
Difficult people.
Ah!
All right, Julie. We're gonna talk to you in depth. You'll be down here real soon, and then it's gonna be fun. And then, but everybody, right now, their marching orders are to watch Difficult People at midnight.
Yes.
All right, Julie.
Thank you, and I hope you guys like it. And thank you, Tom, for just being alive. I'm getting a little emotional, but
it's all right.
It could just be that I've had it.
Before this turns into the Sammy Maudlin show, I'm gonna say goodnight. All right, Julie.
Have a great show, Tom. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right. Julie Klausner checking in. Difficult People starts on Wednesday at 12:01. You going to watch it, Mike? Here you go. She's got one down. One person. She's got Mike. Are these people sucking up to you on Twitter now? Mike's saying the people are not being creative, because if you go to Twitter, and Mike's going to determine who wins these tickets. We're giving away a pair of tickets for each date on the Sharpling and Worcester West Coast shows. And you can check those tour dates out over at stereolaughs.com/tour. Mike's giving tickets away for all those shows, and you can check them out. But you gotta tweet at Sharpling and at AP Mike and convince him why you should get the tickets. So, Dudio, how well do you know Ferris Bueller?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Is this on the line, Mike? Is this our friend?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the best show.
Hi.
Is this my lawyer friend?
This is your lawyer friend.
How shall I address you?
You can call me Grace.
I will call you Grace. And I will call you Grace. How are you tonight, Grace?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Well, thanks for being a part of this. What we're doing is we're going to do this thing where we're trying to figure out what these people would be guilty of that they've for the things they've committed, like the things they explain their crimes in songs or you see them in a movie. Like, there's a song, ZZ Top have a song, Grace.
Francine?
They have a song called Francine, exactly. How did you know that was the song I was gonna mention?
I've been looking on Twitter.
Yes, they have a song.
It was showbiz friend.
It was the reason I decided to do this topic was this song, Francine. Now here's a lyric. I just want you to tell me if this was someone you, met. If you were, because you're an attorney?
I am.
Okay. What crime would this person be guilty of? Got a girl, her name's Francine, finest thing you ever seen, and I love her, she's all that I want, and I need her, she's all that I need. Well, Francine, oh, Francis, why do you love me and make me cry? How I love her, she's all that I want, how I need her, she's all that I need. If I ever caught her with Stevie P, now I don't know who Stevie P is, I'd throw her back in the penitentiary now. And if I caught her with my mother's son, I'll call her daddy and get my gun. My Francine just turned 13. She's my angelic teenage queen. And I love her. She's all that I need. I love her. She's all that I want. I need her. She's all that I need. So we're talking about an adult who's singing a song about a he's involved with a 13-year-old. Right? So we're talking about Billy Gibbons now. We're about to convict Billy Gibbons. And he's threatening to go get his gun. So what charge would it be to get your gun?
To threaten? I am a practicing lawyer in North Carolina. In North Carolina, that's a misdemeanor known as communicating threats.
Okay. So, right, for Francine, we're starting off with communicating threats?
Yes, communicating threats. We'll start small.
Yeah, yes. We're going to build our way up to the actual, to the heavier charges here in that song. So there's communicating threats, because he's going to go get his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about all this stuff? What is this? Is this statutory rape? Or is this like sex?
He was sexually involved with this girl at age 13. That is the definition of statutory rape.
So it's communicating threats and statutory rape. So Billy Gibbons would have to register as a sex offender? Like, what would those charges get him, do you think, if someone was in court and found guilty of those two charges?
In court, he would probably, I wouldn't even worry about the communicating threats. The court, he'd be going to prison for probably 25 years.
Okay, so 25 years. Okay. So Billy Gibbons.
25 years.
And then when he got out, he'd have to he'd be a registered sex offender.
With satellite monitoring.
Okay, I'm right. So then he'd have satellite monitoring, which means what? He's constantly under surveillance,
Yes, it's kind of like GPS tracking.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. 25 years in jail. The judge wouldn't even worry about the communicating threats thing. Cause they got him good on the statutory rape. 25 years in jail.
With lyrics like that, yes. I'd say they have him pretty good.
Cause he's pretty much admitting it, right? He's bragging about this. All right. That's good to know. So Billy Gibbons would be in jail for 25 years.
Statutory rape.
For statute, yes. All right. I'm trying to see what else. What other ones? We have, how about Animal House? Do you know the movie Animal House?
I'm familiar.
Just a few things in Animal House. You have, let's just take on the final scene in Animal House where they ambush a parade and they drive a car called the Deathmobile into bleachers that have people on them, and they pretty much are caught, like, inciting a riot. I guess you could say they would be inciting a riot, right?
Yes.
In that. So say you take five guys from the Delta House, and they're all on trial. For the final scene in Animal House, rolling marbles down the street to get people to slip, throwing smoke bombs, driving a car that's fortified. Like, it's fortified like a tank. And they're crashing it into bleachers that have public officials on them. I mean, what would this be? If in a court, would they be considered terrorists? Would that be like domestic terrorism?
Of a federal level.
Okay. All right. So this is beyond your.
I'm more of a state level person.
Okay.
But yes, I could see some terroristic elements there.
So what would be the case if you were prosecuting and these guys were sitting across the table from you? What charges would you bring in front of the judge?
At the very least, I would start with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that is a felony.
So that's a felony. And what other charges is it, like, what about like inciting a riot? Is that what would lead?
I think inciting a riot would be a good one. I think it's a good guess that they had been drinking, so intoxicated and disruptive. There are actually various levels of assault you can go with assault on a government official.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember the scene.
Okay, so we're talking about assault on a government official, public intoxication and disruptiveness. Is that a charge?
Uh-huh.
And then assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about five guys from Delta House, say they all pin it on Tim Matheson, I'm sure it would work to where they would, like, they'd flip, right? People would, like... You'd get, like, Stork, it would flip, it would probably be Tim Matheson's character and the guy D-Day, just because he looks like a maniac.
Oh, I'd definitely go for D-Day.
Right, so those two. Say it breaks down to where other guys, like, testify against the two of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
What case would you say those two guys would be found guilty? Like, what kind of sentence are we looking here at? Is Animal House Otter? Is that his name? What's Tim Matheson's name in Animal House? Otter. Otter and D-Day.
Okay. Otter and D-Day.
Yeah. With these charges.
That's actually the assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury, all of that stuff. That's actually a higher level felony, so they could be looking at 15 to 20 years.
So 15 to 20 years just on the assault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the intoxication and the assault on a government official, with those, what does it all add up to?
Honestly, those other ones are small. Again, small potatoes compared to the assault. That would add maybe another 6 months.
Okay. So we're talking about it all adding up to 15 to 20 years for the what they would be called, like, the Delta House 2.
Yes, with
right?
A nice little cherry on top of 6 months.
Yeah. All right. Are there any examples you can think of, Grace? Because we're going to listen to what the callers have to say, then I'll talk to you later in the show with some examples.
Speaking of kind of the fraternity movie thing, the thing that gets me is the, Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, Revenge of the Nerds with the one nerd where he... poses, where they go into, like, the moonwalk, right?
You anticipated my example, yes.
Yeah. And he pretty much, what, impersonates another person?
Yes.
And then has full intercourse with this, with the one of the women from the other, from the sorority.
Mm-hmm.
So what would the charges be for that?
For that, that would be something called rape by deception.
Rape by deception.
Rape by deception.
Okay. And what was that nerd's name? Do you guys know? Lewis? Lewis. I think it was Lewis. Played by, Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds. So so his charge would be rape by deception.
Rape by deception.
And what are we looking at, charge wise on that? Like, sentence wise?
Same thing as Billy Gibbons. He'd be looking at least 25 years.
So 25 years. And then would he also be a registered sex offender as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Okay, so he would also... All right, so Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds committed rape by deception in Revenge of the Nerds. Do you guys have any out there? Dudio, who's the... he's kind of like the tech... he's like the tech squad guy here. I'm not going to say geek squad. But he's the dude who built the studio, so he calls himself Dudio. Look, I didn't come up with it, Grace. He came up with it, and he makes me call him that.
He's very proud.
He's very proud of it. So people are cheering on Twitter that you just convicted Lewis from Revenge of the Nerds, Grace. So people are loving that. And also, Animal House is not helped by Bluto when he slid that ladder up to the window and was staring in the other...
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, no.
What charge would that be?
Secret peeping.
Wait, that's an actual... Is that the actual charge?
We use it interchangeably. It's actually peeping into a room occupied by another, but... We basically call it secret peeping.
Okay, so what? So a guy who slides a ladder, who willingly moves a ladder to climb and climbs up and looks in the second story of a sorority house and watches women change, he would be found guilty of secret peeping.
Secret peeping.
And what kind of sentence does that carry?
Well, there's a mess up thing in my jurisdiction. It's actually a misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor? Well, that... Okay.
But if he had taken the pictures, it would have been a felony.
Well, what if him is he's drunk, though. He clearly is intoxicated. Does secret peeping plus public intoxication add up to... What would he be looking at?
Again, unfortunately, in my jurisdiction, not a whole lot, probably 6 months.
So 6 months. So he might very well be picking up trash on the side of the highway, Bluto, as a way to just get out of his secret peeping sentence. All right. What do you have, Dudio?
I've got a couple, but the first one that I'm going to do is the last verse in The Longest Time by Billy Joel.
Okay.
I don't care what consequence it brings. I've been a fool for lesser things. I want you so bad. I think you ought to know that. I intend to hold you for the longest time. Is that a threat?
No, it doesn't sound like one, actually. It's a little creepy, but I don't think it's a threat because it's not communicating anything that he wants to hurt somebody, just that he wants hold them for the longest time.
But he says there's no, he doesn't care the consequences, so he's going to the edge with this.
So you think, Grace, that he could beat the rap on that?
I think he could beat the rap. Billy I would take Joel, that case.
Like that would be some Long Island backroom dealings. And he'd beat the, Billy Joel would beat the rap on that. Well, what about this? A British guy arrested in America.
Okay.
And this is, they find this as the thing. Every breath you take, Every move you make, every bond you break, I'll be watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see you belong to me? My poor heart aches with every step you take. Since you've been gone, I've been lost without a trace. I dream at night, but I only see your face. I look around, but it's you I can't replace. I keep crying, baby, baby, please. Every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. So if you... this is what I would do. You tell me if I'm wrong in this. I think you'd get some sort of stalking charge.
Very, very good. Yeah.
But he would have a chance of getting off under the guise of being mentally ill with all of this, the stuff he says about, I dream at night. I look around, like where he says, like he's like, where he's like, it seems like he's not mentally to all there.
You know, it's actually a lot harder to get off on the insanity defense than a lot of people think.
Okay, well, good. So every breath you take, so the stuff I just said, what would be the charges for every breath you take?
In addition to being really creepy,
yeah.
I guess that maybe Sting had been calling a little bit too. This is just pure speculation on my part.
Yeah.
I would feel like there'd be some harassing telephone calls in there.
So harassment.
Harassment, yeah.
And what is stalking a legal charge? Is that like,
oh yeah,
is stalking, it called stalking?
A legal charge, and it's called stalking.
Okay, so it's called stalking. I tell you, Grace, it's amazing. You wonder how I know this stuff. You just come here, you look at who comes here and does a show with me every week.
I do wonder.
Yeah. So harassment, stalking, any other charges?
I don't think there's communicating threats in there. I'm going to go with harassment and stalking.
Okay, and what kind of charges would that bring?
Sting doesn't strike me as he would take no for an answer, so mm-hmm. I would think that he'd keep on stalking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like he'd keep on stalking, so he'd be looking at a felony, a lower-level one, but I'd say a felony on the stalking, and the harassing telephone calls would be probably a higher-level misdemeanor.
Which would add up to what kind of conviction?
He might actually be able to get probation for this.
Okay, would he get deported?
His immigration status would definitely be in jeopardy.
Okay, so there would be a...
They might make him serve a sentence and then go.
Okay, so he might serve his sentence, probation. So probation, it would likely be probation, and then... his immigration status would suddenly be in jeopardy.
Yes.
And he could very well get deported.
I would hope so, yes.
Well, I think you're bringing some personal glee into the mix on that one. Sounds like it seems like you're hoping that he, so do you have, do you have another one, Dudia?
Yeah, I have two cases of impersonating a police officer. Okay. One in Magic Mike, when they're all dressed like police officers.
Okay.
And then the other, now these are two different scenarios, so they could be different charges. When Robert Patrick impersonated a police officer as a Terminator in Terminator 2.
So you're going to try to get him... That's like trying to get OJ on like sports memorabilia stuff.
Yes.
Like if we can't get this guy on all this like evil robot stuff, we're going to get him on this, we'll get him on this impersonating a police officer.
Wait.
So let's just say, yes, they, it's a thing where this robot stuff is slipping through the cracks legally. Impersonating a police officer, Grace?
Oh, God. Well, first I'd like to ask Dudio if he saw Magic Mike in theaters or on video.
Which one? The original one? Yeah, yes. I've seen them both. I think I saw them both in theaters. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the second one.
I only saw the first one.
Yeah, go see the second one.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we'll start with Magic Mike, and with Magic Mike, since yes, they were dancing in police uniforms, but they weren't actually impersonating police. Under the law, so it'd be like just a costume, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So yeah, because they don't actually, they're not representing themselves as police.
Exactly.
Okay. Come on, Dudio, get your head in the game.
Well,
you knew
that. I just care about the law.
No, you're a little too. I didn't realize you were across the T's, dot the I's kind of guy, dude.
I am. So. That's the way Dudio is.
Okay. So in the case of that, that's not a crime by your estimation. But
no.
But T2 driving around in a stolen police car, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stealing a police car and impersonating an officer, what would be the charges with that?
He took the guy's full image, too.
Yeah.
So we've got some identity theft.
So we're looking at identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at impersonating a law enforcement official, right?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's a good one. So with identity theft, didn't he take the guy's ID, too? Am I... Like, you just completely stripped him? Am I going crazy?
That was the first one. Terminator in the second. This was the weird metal Terminator.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so with that one, that is it's just called identity theft. We've got the larceny of the motor vehicle and then, yes, impersonating a police officer.
Mm-hmm. What kind of sentence are we looking at there?
Those are all felonies.
Okay.
And I'm trying to recall off the top of my head, especially since we don't get the impersonating a police officer as much as you might think. I'd probably go 15 years on this one.
Okay, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll do one more, and then we'll talk to you later in the show. I want to here's one. It's a song called Casey Jones by the Grateful Dead. This old engine makes it on time, leaves Central Station at 8:45, hits River Junction at 17:02, at 9:45, you know it's traveling again. Driving that train, high on cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind, and you know that notion just crossed my mind. Trouble ahead, the lady in red. Take my advice, you'd be better off dead. Switchman sleeping. Train 102 is on the wrong track and headed for you. So, the trouble with you is the trouble with me. Got two good eyes, but we still don't see. Come round the bend, you know it's the end. The fireman screams and the engine just gleams. Driving that train high on cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. So we're looking at someone who's a train operator.
Uh-huh.
Who is under the effect of an illegal narcotic and is driving this train recklessly. So what would be the charges on somebody operating a public transportation in a reckless, life-endangering fashion?
The closest thing that I can think of is it would be obviously to me, or you could make the argument that it's some form of driving while impaired.
It's driving while impaired. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a higher level since he's in a commercial vehicle.
Okay.
Considered to be aggravated in that way. And then driving in a reckless manner, but really it's kind of difficult because a lot of this is vehicle stuff, and he's on the track.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving a train.
Okay. So what are we looking at here?
Casey Jones gets off easiest of all. He loses his ability. He loses his ability to drive a train, mm-hmm. and he likely loses his license for a little while too.
Yeah. So the train union kind of sticks up for him.
Very much so. Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As long as he doesn't injure anybody.
Let me just say. Oh, I'm sorry. On Twitter. Cocaine is not a narcotic. It's a stimulant. I'm sorry I got that one wrong. Cocaine's not a narcotic. It's actually a stimulant. They check you out. Whatever. Neither here nor there. Guy's well-meaning. So Casey Jones just leans on the train union and gets fired and probably goes into some sort of rehab program.
He gets probation and community service. I would take that case.
You would take that case. Well, Grace.
And, of all of the cases we've heard, mm-hmm. I would take Casey Jones above all of them.
All right. So we're going to talk to you in a little bit later in the show. We'll get more examples and, thank you for doing this. This is really funny, and you're
not
super
a problem.
Funny. All right, we will talk to you later. Thanks, Grace.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. How about that? She's awesome. Yeah, Mike loves it. His Grateful Dead buddies beat the rap yet again, right? Yeah, they beat the rap. Jerry's up there. Smiling up. He's definitely in Hades, right? And if, hey, Mike, why don't we rotate in some people? There's people hanging out. They can come. We'll send one in to hang, and then we'll do another hang for later. Yeah, I like... Oh, this topic is making me sound like this holy mountain saying, this topic makes me sound like more of a tight ass than Jack Valenti. Yeah, no. The whole point of the thing is to figure out what the charges are. I'll put you on trial. You're banned. You know, I'm going to put you on trial because you got 30,000 tweets and 3,800 followers. You're not maintaining you just barely are maintaining the 10-to-1 ratio, 10 tweets to every one follower. Yeah, you beat the charges on that one, holy mountain. Holy_mountain. Yeah. Tell you, they love it. Right, Mike? And somebody said, Dudio, John Solomon said on Twitter, Dudio referring to himself in the third person has to be some sort of crime. Dudio's way too... That's what Dudio does. I don't know about that. The gleefulness. And that's what Dudio does. My friends. Ladies, gentlemen. Youngsters, old timers. We all like books, right? We all like books. I like books. But you know what? Sometimes you just don't have the time to read them. You're stuck in your car. You're driving around all the livelong day. You're on your commute. I saw these people stuck on the turnpike tonight. Miles of traffic. People were stuck there just sitting on the hoods of their cars. Felt terrible. So all these people out there, nothing to do. They don't have their books with them. But you know what, my friends? Audible.com has the perfect solution. You get audiobooks. You listen to the books you've been meaning to read while you're out on the go. You're at the gym. You're in your commute. wherever. Audible.com has over 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Their app is free and it works on iPhones, iPads, Androids, and Windows phones. You can also download and listen on your Kindle Fire and over 500 different MP3 players. And unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books so you can access them at any time and anywhere from your smartphone. Audible.com also has the great listen guarantee. If you decide you don't like the book, no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. And I'm saying this as somebody who uses Audible. I use it. Let me look at my Audible account right now. I'll tell you some of the things I got in here. What did I listen to? I listened to Michael Jordan, The Life by Roland Lazenby. That was so great. I can't sit and read that thing, man. I listened to that. It was so great. It was the best Michael Jordan biography I've ever heard. Another thing I listened to recently was Whiskey Bottles and Brand New Cars, the story of Leonard Skinner, told by Mark Hrabowski, wrote the book. It's a great book. That's the thing. There's so many things. You want to listen to smart stuff, you listen to it. You want to listen to goofball biography stuff, you listen to that. I get the rap gets put on me that I'm not smart. I'll tell you, I'm going to get smart thanks to Audible.com. You listen to me, all you people say I'm not smart. I'm going to show you all. You know what? And just for you guys listening, Audible.com is going to offer a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. So go to audible.com/bestshow today to start your free trial. Again, show your support for The Best Show by going to audible.com/bestshow and get a free audiobook and 30-day trial. Audible.com. Thank you for sponsoring the show. Sometimes it works out like that. I tell you, man. You see that Garrison Keillor is finally hanging it up? That bum. I've been looking for a focus on this right here, like this show, right? What is our focus with it? Feels like it's a 3-hour show and they're live, but then it turns into a podcast and then it's got calls and fun thing. And it does, it's not just like, I don't have the hook that some of these other things have, like that Gilligan's Island podcast I was talking about. Gilligan Island guys, where they just review episodes of Gilligan's Island on every episode. I don't have the hook like that. This show ain't got some clear path where it's just some comedians sitting around just busting each other's chops, right? Talking all about stand-up and the check drop and the middling and all that stuff. We ain't got the hooks like that, man. But then I saw it like a beacon of light when I heard that this Garrison Keillor, he's the host of Prairie Home Companion. When he finally said he was hanging it up, then I'm like, man, maybe that's the hook. I want his gig. I want that gig. Supposedly there's some other clown they lined up for it. Some one of his lap dogs is like teed up for it. So yeah, they got some lackey of his is going to slide into the slot. Keep that streak going. Why? Doesn't that guy like live off like public money? Like anytime your car hits like a pothole, shouldn't you think of his face when your car hits a pothole, that money that's paying for him to talk about biscuit powder? It could have been used to fix a street somewhere. I don't know, man. I'm going to smear this guy. Something about it ain't sitting right. some about this this Garrison Keillor. I think this is my purpose. Me and my ragtag gang. AP Mike, Dudio, Pat Byrne. Right? We'll do our own. That's who should be taking over Prairie Home Companion. Picture AP Mike telling stories about eating rhubarb pie. Right? It would go from, and Mike will do it in the Garrison Keillor voice. So Mrs. Abernathy went over to Massa's the other day, and she, Massa's Tavern, a bar in Bayonne, New Jersey that AP Mike works at every Sunday. Mrs. Abernathy went in with her rhubarb pie, and she sat at the bar, and AP Mike was having one of his Sunday movie nights where he plays a movie for the riffraff who populate masses. And this week, Mike was showing the Dirty Dozen. So Mrs. Abernathy sat down, and then one of the locals, Ricky, I don't know what these locals at this place are, the nicknames that these people have. Who? Jimmy Windows pounded another Pabst Blue Ribbon and then horked all over Mrs. Abernathy's rhubarb pie. Well, isn't that a fun time? Somebody just said it's a mandolin player is going to replace this guy, Garrison Keillor. Guy from what? Nickel Creek. What's that?
Like a hip bluegrass band.
A hip bluegrass band. God help me. You know, walk into the Hudson, man. This is where we're going. That's a pretty good one that over on Twitter. People have really good ideas for the topic showbiz crimes. Maxwell Silver Hammer. It's a good one. Hitting Play Podcast just said in the last X-Men movie, Magneto lifts RFK Stadium and then like drops it on other people. That's a pretty major one. I don't even know if there's a crime for that. That's just like, what would you even charge somebody on for that? Lifting a football stadium. Now I got I like Nickel Creek. I said, what is it? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the best thing I ever heard. Maybe I'll listen to it and be like, well, I was wrong about this. This is the greatest thing I ever heard. But I'm telling you, man. I got it. I want that. I want that show. I want Prairie Home Companion. I want it. It will be mine. Why can't I take it? Right? What I want, I take. What I don't, I break. That's the motto with this, man. We're coming for you, Keebler. We're coming for you. Best show, you're on the air.
Sorry. Hello?
Hello, yes. Welcome to the best show.
Thank you so much.
To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Caroline in Brooklyn.
Caroline, what's going on?
I have a true story showbiz crime.
Let's hear it.
So, some context. I grew up in Los Angeles, and when I was a kid, I played Little League on a team that seemed to be populated overwhelmingly by, like, the children of, like, C-list actors. Like, George Wendt's kid was on our team and some other people and stuff like that.
Allegedly.
Anyway,
allegedly. Allegedly, yeah. I don't know if you're some angry Cheers fan because you didn't get an autograph at some Cheers convention or something. I don't know, but we'll. Let's hear. So you okay? So you're in this
we're
little.
Okay,
go ahead.
We're on a little league team, and you know, unremarkable season. We had a it was coach pitch little league at the park, and our coach was a guy that we just referred to as Dr. Dave. And, you know, we had an unremarkable season. Season ends. We never speak to anybody again. But then, you know, flash forward like about 6 years. It's, I don't know, early 2000s. The Osbournes have taken America by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple seasons into the Osbournes, it's revealed that Ozzy Osbourne's doctor had been wrongly prescribing him, like, heavy doses of tranquilizers and all sorts of like mind pills to keep him kooky on the show. And the gentleman in question who was erroneously prescribing him these tranquilizers was none other than my little league coach,
all
Dr.
right.
Dave.
Yeah, okay. I don't know that that's true.
But wait, there's more.
Okay, let's hear it.
A few years after that,
yeah.
I'm in high school. I'm with my mom. We're driving home from an industry function, and we make a stop at our local video store.
Well, not so fast. Industry function?
Yeah.
You can't just blast past that.
It was just some silly thing.
What was it?
You know, I believe it was like a panel, like a Q&A panel at the Television Academy.
Okay. Are you in the biz?
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
So we're on our way home. I say, hey, Ma, can we stop at the video store? And we do. And, you know, as a high schooler attending an industry function, I felt compelled to get a little dolled up. So I'm hanging out in the classic movie section wearing all kinds of face paint. And this guy, this white-haired older guy, comes up to me and says, oh, I love what you're wearing. What are you doing later? Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, well, I don't know about this. So I head over to the cash register and hand my choices to my mom, who then in turn hands them to the lady behind the counter. And then my mom, who has a shunt in her head, feels somebody whack her on the head with a DVD case. And she turns around, and it's the creeper from the classic movie aisle. She looks at him, she looks at me, and she goes, Caroline, you remember Dr. Dave from your little league? And he turned beet red. He was embarrassed because he had made a pass at one of his erstwhile little leaguettes after coming under fire with some scandal with the Osbournes.
Look, I hope none of this happened. It's terrible. This is all terrible. This guy sounds truly awful.
It happened.
Okay, but you have to realize you're saying it. I don't know you.
It's true, you don't. You're just going to have to take my word for it.
I'll take your word for it insofar as you're saying it, but I'm not, this is not a, we don't have Dr. Dave here.
Look, yeah, we really should get Dr. Dave's side of the story.
I don't want Dr. Dave on the show.
I also heard a rumor that he got...
I don't want any more Dr. Dave stories. Come on.
All right, I'm sorry it's not juicier.
No, it's not that it's not juicier. It's not the topic.
What? It's not?
No, not even remotely.
Oh, thank you for indulging me.
You freestyled all over this topic, Caroline.
I'm so sorry. I didn't
it's all right.
freestyle.
It's all right. I heard your story. It's a good one. I'm sorry you had a bad time with this creep, alleged creep.
It was worth it to have something to freestyle about on the best show.
Well, it was not either. I'm going to don't downgrade your thing to be good radio show fodder. Thank you for the call, Carolyn.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My. Well, all right. We're moving it along. And everybody, what do I have to do here? Did we do this? Let me make sure I did the things. Did it. Oh, we have a guest. Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness. This is great. We got Jake Tempest. Let me just bring him up. I'm going to, before our guest, let me intro him first. You know, on the show, we've talked to so many different musicians over the years, and people of all different stripes. But I don't think I've ever talked to somebody. I guess infamous is the best way to describe my guest tonight. And people are definitely know who this guy is. If you were at all a fan of like heavy rock in the mid to late 80s. You knew this guy's band, Blue Savage. They were all over MTV, all over the radio. I mean, so many songs you would know. Little Girl Lost, Milk and Cookies, Down to Party, Wasted Youth, Dip You in Chocolate. So many, like, hits these guys had, Blue Savage had. Between like, I think like 87 to 1990 would have been. And, this guy is he was the voice of Blue Savage and the kind of the focal point of the whole band, Jake Tempest. He was the front man, total larger than life character, kind of quick, like, I guess like a very fiery kind of, volatile, quick-tempered kind of guy. Definitely one of, you know, like one of the hotheads of rock at that point in the 80s. And, we definitely would pay the price for it, for his volatility. And, he's just about to release a solo album. It's his first album in 21 years since Phoenix Rising. This album's called Back in the Saddle, and I have not heard it yet. I guess that's like an Aerosmith, like a tip of the hat to Aerosmith. I don't know. We'll find out. Let's bring him to the show. We have the famous or infamous, as I said, frontman to Blue Savage, Jake Tempest. Are you there, Jake?
Hey! How's it going, man? Thanks for having me, Tim.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you know, I do want to correct you on what you said. Even though we did tour extensively with Aerosmith, that title is not a nod to them, and I'll tell you, as much as I love Aerosmith, I could never name an album after a song by a band I blew off the stage every night.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I thought that might be what it is, but it isn't. So, but look, I know you're busy. Let's just jump right into everything.
Sounds great.
Yeah. You have had such a wild ride for so many years. And,
right.
You know, I say this with all due respect that it's kind of amazing that you're still alive, to even talk about your life and career in 2015.
Yeah, well, you know, those were some very crazy times, Tip.
Tom is
right.
My name.
Anyway, you know, that was a different world back then in the 80s. You know, money, booze, and other things flowed like water. Anything went, and boy, did it. I'll tell you what, that should be on my tombstone, right?
Uh-huh. Anything went, and boy, did it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's, okay. I mean,
kind of rolls off the tongue, don't it?
Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of unique and generic at the same time. You know, like,
it's like you've heard it, but you ain't ever heard it.
Yes, exactly. Like, you heard it, but you ain't ever heard it. That's exactly
right.
What I meant to say.
Right.
Now, Jake, back in the 80s and up into the early 90s, your lifestyle was the kind of lifestyle that must have made even like other rock stars envious.
Right.
Like, you were the guy who Like you had it all and you did it all.
Oh, wait, you mean other rock stars weren't rocking the sheets with the hottest women on the planet and partying with A-list movie stars, heads of state, and popes 24/7?
Wait, you partied with a pope?
Oh, yeah.
Which pope?
John Paul II.
Pope John Paul II.
Yeah. This bishop in, what was the town? Just this god-awful town we played a couple times. Oh, what was it called? Newbridge, New Jersey. Anyway, the bishop of this town introduced me to JP2. And this would have been, 1988, I think. So that would have been the Panty Soaker tour.
The name of that tour has not aged well, I guess.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's pretty offensive.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. And,
argue that all night, buddy.
Okay, yeah, but we don't have to argue it. I'd rather talk to you about other stuff.
Right.
Okay. How is it that you came to even be in the same room with the Pope?
What was his name? Bishop Fontana, that was his name. He brought JP2 to the show that night.
Wait, the Pope John Paul II,
yeah,
was at one of your shows, at a Blue Savage show.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe that.
We were co-headlining with Poison that night, and if my memory serves, and I'll tell you, man, I've got a pretty good memory for what we did, considering, all the offenses. My memory of that night is that C.C. DeVille did a sacramental wine bong with the Pope that night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. But it's true, though. I can tell you maybe don't believe me, but I don't know how it is now, but back in the 80s, at least 70% of the Roman Catholic leadership, they were flagrant glam meddlers. And
really?
I remember J.P. II, he had a... He had etched in, sewn in into his very regal robe, Lucas Vatum De Dominis Gatos Dragonum Inum, which is, of course, Latin for look what the cat dragged in.
That's that's like a Poison album title.
Yeah.
That's, okay. I did not know that. Well,
yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you one thing. You have no idea what it's like to be world famous. And no offense, listening to your speaking voice right now, you never will. It's like talking to a prepubescent robot whose bolts haven't dropped yet.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. Look, let's. Okay, I'm not going to argue that with you. You mentioned you dated a lot of famous women back in the day.
Yeah.
Like who can I ask who some of those famous women were?
Oh, sounds like someone's in total perv mode.
No, I'm just wondering, you mentioned it and I'm following up on it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you, man, it would be easier to name the ones whose panties I didn't inspect.
Oh, that is the second time you've said that word, and please don't say it anymore.
All right. Well, off the top of my head, Rebecca De Mornay, Mary Hart, Kim Wilde, Aaron Gray, Kelly LeBrock, Lisa Bonet, Tawny Catane, Mia Sara, Lita Ford, Victoria Principal, Shannon Tweed, Yasmin Bleeth, Elizabeth Shue, Leah Thompson, Fawn Hall, Samantha Fox, who else? Heather Locklear, Nina Blackwood, Helen Slater, Justine Bateman, Donna Rice, Paula Abdul, who else was there? Lisa Gibbons. God, I forget her name already. It's been so long ago. Alisa Milano, Robin Givens, Debbie Gibson, Dana Delaney, Lisa Hartman, there's a couple more, who else? Lisa Hartman, Jessica Hahn, Natasha Kinski, who else? Cheryl Teagues, Vanna White, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Bobby Brown from, you know, all those metal videos, Tanya Roberts, Jody Watley, Barbara Walters, to name just a couple.
Wow. That's like a who's who of, like, pretty much, not every, but so many women back from the 80s.
Right? Yeah. But, you know, I do want to say that was a long time ago, and four divorces later, I've been blessed to find the woman of my dreams, and we've been married for the last 2 years, and I'll tell you, Max, she has really made me a better person.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, you mentioned that, like, being inside, like, fame, like the bubble of fame.
Right.
And for people who have not experienced that, what is that like?
Well, you know, it has its good points and it has its bad points. The good stuff, you know, just being able to afford things. I come from the streets, you know, where I didn't have a lot growing up. So just, you know, being able to afford not even nice things, but just, you know, the things that make life a little better every day. That was a big thing, you know. And what else? Being able to create the music and make the videos that we wanted without interference from anybody. That was a big thing. I think our record label knew that we knew what we were doing, so we were able to make these very successful records, these very successful videos, without, you know, too many cooks getting in there. What else? Not having to pay for things was great. Not having the normal rules of marriage apply to me was really nice. And of course, making people eat weird things for money. That's probably the five that were the biggest. Oh, and of course the sex, obviously. Lots and lots of that.
Ugh, okay.
What?
No, we get it.
I'll tell you one thing. I was doing this PSA about reading once at a public library, and I... all over the index cards.
Oh, Jake, I had to bleep that whole thing.
What? Really?
Yes, all of it.
I thought your show was on Flint Radio.
Flint Radio. What is Flint Radio?
Like Hustler. Hustler Radio.
Hustler? No, this show doesn't have any affiliation with Hustler.
Well, that's just sad. I don't think I've ever heard anything sadder.
You've never heard anything sadder than that a show doesn't have affiliation with Hustler.
Hang on. No.
Okay. All right, well.
But on the other side of it, you know, the other side of that coin, people, when you're really famous, people look at you like you're some kind of god, and they look to you for guidance, and that can be a bit much. It's like, you know, I'm just a million-selling recording artist. I'm not like a someone on high like Jesus or Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
And he's going all the way this election.
Yeah, no,
Sure,
no, he won't. There's no way that it's August of 2015. This definitely sustains for another 13 months.
Oh, it has. I'm sure it will. I'll 15. Tell you one thing. Yeah. You won't be getting an interview. You know why?
Why?
Because he'll say you're a total disaster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I guess that's my loss then, Jake. Getting back to the music stuff, your Blue Savage was one of the biggest bands of that era in the late 80s, and you guys had hits. You played like hockey arenas, and it's like as big as a band can get when, you know, and, but you know, it's, I'm not going to try to be offensive here, but I do want to ask you something about, like, what do you think the reason is that things started to kind of go south for you and Blue Savage?
Nirvana.
Nirvana?
Yeah. Yeah, they came out of nowhere, and nobody was doing anything like what they were doing, and kids had never heard anything like this before, and you know, so they became the thing that kids had to check out, and bands like Blue Savage and Van Halen totally fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, no offense, but there's this whole a lot of metal bands always say that, you know, everything was going great, and then Nirvana came along, and then suddenly they weren't popular anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of other bands doing things just like Nirvana and, other bands. There was like Mudhoney.
Who?
Yeah, it's a band. And, you know, a lot of bands on Sub Pop, a lot of the Seattle bands, and just a lot of a lot of rock bands. And there were a lot of indie bands who were just doing the same type of thing, but they just weren't.
Oh, kinda, like Redbone.
Like Redbone.
Yeah, Indian bands.
No, indie, independent.
Like race car bands?
No, not race car. Look, Nirvana definitely played the game really well to make it as big as they did. And,
right.
And you said bands like that Blue Savage and Van Halen just took it, you know, what did you say? Fell by the wayside, I think you said. And it's like, I mean, not to nitpick, but Van Halen had nowhere near the dip in popularity that you guys did.
Jesus, my publicist said this is going to be a puff interview.
What's that?
I said my publicist said this is going to be a puff interview.
A puff interview?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to a couple episodes of your show while I was at the gym getting fully ripped.
Uh-huh.
And going by what I heard, I thought this was going to be like an hour of us talking about what sub shops we don't like.
Uh-huh.
Or what candy bars have our shorts in a wad this week.
Okay.
So, or what TV characters nobody remembers are so stupid they're awesome.
All right.
Or how Billy Joel is the undisputed second coming of Hitler and all things evil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or who was the second unit third AD on Cabin Boy.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's enough.
I'm just busting your bees there, Tex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but getting back to your question, okay, maybe grunge wasn't the only reason for our dip in popularity. A substantial section of our small-minded Fairweather fans couldn't handle the fact that I was a full-on Renaissance man, little Timmy.
Uh-huh. It's Tom.
Oh, sorry, little Tommy.
Just Tom.
Okay, well, anyway, I never wanted to be penned into this box of just being a kick-ass rock star.
Okay.
You know, I was a businessman. I had my own line of Flamin' Jake Tempest hot sauces that I sold on stage during concerts.
Yeah, like literally from the stage.
Yeah.
And not you telling people to go get it at the merch table.
Right.
It was you grabbing a box of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of, it's very odd when you watch clips online of you guys like playing, and then suddenly you're sitting at the edge of the stage with boxes of hot sauce making change for fans in like an 18,000 seat arena.
No one had done it before, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a true groundbreaker, but that really angered my bandmates. You know, but then they started selling their own hot sauces during the shows, you know. So at one point there was five of us doing these on stage transactions.
Mhm.
You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like a great show.
Yeah, there were like several times when there was no music for like 13 minutes
while all the members of the band have their own respective hot sauces.
Yeah, and it got really embarrassing and uncomfortable when you'd have to ask, like, I'd have to ask Tony, the drummer, if he could, you know, if he could make change for a 50. You know, who's buying hot sauces with a 50, you know, back then?
You got me.
Right?
Yeah, right?
That's a question for the ages, right?
Yeah,
who's buying hot sauces with a 50 back then?
That one, that might as well be in the pyramids or something.
Right?
Like I could picture that them like unearthing that in a temple somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they didn't wear pants back then.
Back then they didn't?
No, the Egyptians. Uh-huh. They still don't.
They still don't. I think they do currently wear pants.
No, they wear like the string and they got like a little flap on the front.
No, people in Egypt wear pants.
I'm 100%, now 99.9% sure.
Yeah,
they don't.
Well, say, okay.
Yeah, well.
Let's get back on.
Oh, sure. You know, you know what else cheesed people off? I wanted to be in movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'm from the streets, and I always saw myself, you know, in films as being, you know, kind of like a cross between.
I think I, you, guys like you.
Right. Ralph,
if I can guess, you probably saw yourself as like a cross between Pacino and De Niro.
How do you know that?
Because those are the only two actors that everyone who ever says they're from the streets, and wants to be in movies. And those are the only two actors that they want to, that they model themselves after and want to be like.
I am not into your tone whatsoever. It's really getting under my skin. I don't like it. I find it insulting. But getting back to me, you know, I took a chance and I auditioned for some of these flicks. And, you know, sometimes you got to throw coffee to the wind and just go for it. You know, so I was blessed and I got those roles.
Yeah, I remember you had some... You were in a couple things back then, right? In like the late 80s?
Oh, wow.
What were they again? I'm not.
Oh, man. Another podcaster who really puts in the time researching his guests.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. I guess let me go to IMDb. I'll do it myself then. I'm sorry, Mr. Tempest. Oh, okay. Well, in my defense, there's a reason why I maybe didn't recall a lot of these titles.
What?
Hot Streets, Compounded Desires, Scuba School, Pray for Desire, The Craving, Untamed Desires. Oh, Blood Puddles 2, The Oozing. That's a Trent L. Strauss movie.
The Master.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Moving Violations 3.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Moving Violations 2.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
That's the Joel Murray.
2 was Mike Murray.
So, because Joel Murray is Bill Murray's brother.
Yes.
He was the star of Moving Violations 1.
Yeah.
Then 2... had Mike Murray, who I guess you would refer to as Joel's brother?
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh. And who was in 3?
Well, I was in it. I didn't star in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Gene Simmons starred in it.
Wow.
He's hilarious.
He really does seem like he would have a deft touch with comedy.
I learned so much from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like our generation's Chaplin.
Yeah, just a real kind of like light on his feet, very graceful.
I meant like he's like a minister, a chaplain.
Oh, like a chaplain,
a spiritual leader.
Okay. I didn't think you. Sure. A couple other things: Secretary of State Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. Murder on the Oriental Express, and then Scuba Night School. Oriental Desires. This is quite a list of movie credits here, Jake. Like, not exactly, you know, well, it's like, I just realized that you had Scuba School and Scuba Night School. Was one the sequel to the other?
What do you think?
Well, I'm assuming, maybe it's a leading question.
They weren't.
Yeah, okay. Well, they weren't. Okay.
No.
Well, Jake, I gotta say, you really were, you were really carving it out there, Pacino De Niro territory.
I know, right? I'm just so blessed to have had such great filmic opportunities. And I'll fill you in on a little secret for you and whatever handful of listeners you've got.
Uh-huh.
It was between me and John Bon Jovi as to who was going to be the really big movie star of that era, you know, coming from the rock world. And it's no secret that my acting chops were and continue to be miles better than John's. But John had better management, and, you know, I'll tell you, my manager, he pulled choke job after choke job and dropped ball after ball when it came to my career.
Just no control over any of it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just choke job after choke job.
Yep.
And then your manager dropping ball after ball.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. So he just kept dropping your balls over and over, right? One after the other.
He sure did. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, oh, I get it. I get you. I get what you were doing there. It was a ball joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a real funny man.
Well, I couldn't resist. You just served that right up for me to, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Listen, you mealy mouthed little nerd boy. I'm gonna.
My God.
Calm down, Jake. Just have another smoothie and you'll feel better like you always do. Hey, Maria? Maria, can you get me another one of those smoothies, please?
Jake?
Thank you.
Jake? Well, what's going on over there?
Oh, nothing. I had this Mexican woman who helps out around the house, and I just asked her if she could bring me one of these great smoothies that that she makes. They're really good. They're very hot.
Yeah, a Mexican woman, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you got a Mexican woman helping you.
Sure do, yeah. She's great.
Yeah, not just a woman, Mexican. Hey, not to dredge up the past, but you just lost your temper because you've been busting my chops all night long, and then I gave it back to you a little bit, and then you just blew up there, and that was kind of like the outbursts that you were kind of known for back in your heyday. Like, your temper was pretty hot and got you in a fair amount of trouble.
Right, right. Well, look, it's no secret. You know, at one point, I had very public feuds going with at least, I don't know, 100 different people and corporations.
Uh-huh. Like, can you remember who?
Oh, off the top of my head? Mm-hmm. Let me think. Dee Snider, James Hetfield, Burger King, the chain, Tico Torres, Bobby Dahl, Burger King, the individual, Morris Day, David Ogden Steers, Doris Day, the city of Ogden, Utah, Ace Frehley, Pam Dauber, Ace Hardware, the makers of Pam Cooking Spray, Andy Summers, who else? Bill Bixby, Donna Summer, the makers of Portisan Toilets, Chris Barnes from the Bad News Bears, Steve Vai, the makers of Portalette Toilets, Chris Barnes from Cannibal Corpse, what else? Charo, Ricky Rockman, Char Grill, the restaurant in Raleigh, North Carolina, Vince Van Patten, Ricky Lake, who else? Patton Oswalt, Greg Lake, Lake Champlain, the Lake, who else? Oh, Eddie Trunk. Yeah, who could forget him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Eddie Trunk, yeah. Do you ever play Trunk Drunk?
Trunk Drunk. What is Trunk? Yeah. No, what is Trunk Drunk?
It's this drinking game. It's so much fun. What you do is you listen to Eddie's podcast, and every time one of his guests mentions a famous rocker and Eddie inserts himself into the story, you take a drink.
Okay.
Like, if someone like Billy Sheehan mentions Joe Elliott and Eddie says, I was talking to Joe just the other day, you take a drink. And like every time he says something like, I was in town doing a book signing, you take two drinks. And every time he said something like, blank, 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 is a very good friend, you take three drinks. And every time he mentions UFO, you have to drink a whole beer.
Yeah, I know, you know, Eddie Trunk and the That Metal Show dudes have really given you the business, like busted on you for some of the clothes you wore back then.
Yeah, they sure did. But I'll tell you what, those double XL Angel shirt wearers, they got no clue about show business whatsoever. I was and am still a showman, okay, an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an entertainer, you have to make an impact visually, and that's exactly what I did and I continue to do.
Sure. Look, I mean, that's all true and fair, but, you know, I mean, some of those outfits back in the day, hold on.
What are you doing?
Hold on 1 second.
What are you? Come on, you dink. What are you doing?
Nothing. I just.
What is it?
No. I just did a Google image search of your name and just. I mean. So, I mean, some of these outfits you wore back then certainly did make an impact. You know, like, here you are. You've got, like, your it's like a unitard with studs all over it.
Yeah.
That's cut down the, like, in a V all the way down to your navel. And it's like, then there's this other one that looks like you're wearing like, almost like hot pants and suspenders on the top. And it's got like a pseudo military feel to it.
Yeah. Sergeant Rock. That was my name on that tour.
Uh-huh. And then there's this like red leather get up and you're wearing like a bandana, so this must have been a little later in the run. You've got a bandana tied on your head,
and I have a mask on, right? Because I was the kissing bandit for part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'd go into the crowd and just kiss people.
Uh-huh. Well, these outfits are pretty, yeah, I guess you definitely did make an impact.
Oh, sounds like you're not into it, but I'll tell you what. They said Da Vinci dressed like a sexually confused Technicolor hairdresser on LSD, too, so I'm in good company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you another thing that really got under my skin.
Uh-huh.
Was when people were constantly saying that Blue Savage wasn't heavy enough. It's like, oh, you're not heavy enough. Your new record's like a pop record. You're not heavy enough. Well, I'll tell you something, man.
Mm-hmm.
This new album, Back in the Saddle?
Yeah.
It's the heaviest thing anyone has ever heard, ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The heaviest?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It positively destroys everything that's ever been out there.
Okay.
I'd love to play the first track, if that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, let me get it rolling here.
Right, was that that was the track?
Yeah, that heavy enough for you, brain dead cretinous heshers.
Whoa, wait, that was what was that? That was the song?
Yeah, yeah, that's the first song, the title track on my new album, and it's so heavy that it will literally make the CD pop out of the player. That ought to shut everybody up, right?
Uh-huh. So basically, you haven't put an album out in 20 years, and you're sabotaging your first solo album in 20 years to make some point that you weren't heavy enough. So the first thing is, what was that, like a boulder or something? You know, I gotta say, Jake, this seems way too crazy for me.
And maybe you're too crazy for me.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Maybe I am too crazy for you, but I'm talking about you right now.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, if it's going to make the... Yeah, I guess it's a good thing that, like, most of your sales are going to be MP3s through downloads at this point.
Oh, well, I had that covered, too. The song is going to make your computer and your iPhone shut itself off.
What's that? So...
Yeah, when you play it, everything's going to shut down.
So when you play that song, when you said it makes the CD pop out of the player...
Yeah.
You weren't being figurative there.
No, it literally shoots it out.
So that, like, triggers it, like, electronically.
Yeah.
And then just to make sure that anybody who downloads it,
yeah,
that when they hear it, because you're trying to make some point about how heavy it is. So to prove how heavy your music is, if you download the MP3s, something in it triggers the thing to shut your iPhone down.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
No,
I mean, it's going to shut people up,
no,
for sure.
It's not going to shut people up. It's crazy.
No, it's not.
No, that's as nuts as anything I've ever heard.
No, it's not.
Jake, that's... What's that?
Oh, that's terrible! Maria! You put way too much cayenne pepper in that thing, and there's not enough ginger! You better get your buns back in there and try again! Andale!
Andale? Well, how can you talk to someone like that? That's, like, super offensive.
Can talk to anybody I want,
yeah,
to talk
and
to.
I can tell you, that it's offensive, and you shouldn't talk to your housekeeper like that. It's brutal, and it's just offensive.
Well, I certainly can talk to her that way if she's my wife. You racist white bastard!
Wait, that Maria is your wife?
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't like that, and I really don't like the whole idea that the person, if somebody's gonna still be a fan of yours, then, and they buy the record, that they literally have to reload the CD or restart their computer so that they can hear the rest of the album.
Well, you know, when they do put it back in, they do reboot up, they're going to be rewarded with some of the best country music they've ever heard. So it all works out.
Country?
Yeah. Why?
It's, well, I guess I probably should have predicted it because it's so on the nose that you would make a country record at this point in your career.
Well, why wouldn't it be? I'm country to the bone.
Country to the bone. You were saying 5 minutes ago how much you were from the streets.
Well, for your information, I have a farm in the South.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm out there every day plowing the fields.
Uh-huh. You have a farm in the South. What,
yeah.
What state in the South?
Well, it's in South Maryland.
South Maryland?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a crab farmer.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's not. I mean, I love getting on my horse every morning and, you know, heading out there into the crab fields.
Your horse.
Well, honestly, it's actually a skidoo, and honestly, someone else drives it. But I'm the one yelling out to the workers what crabs to kill.
Uh huh. What crabs to kill? I thought you were. You meant you plowed actual fields.
Oh well, I it depends what kind of fields we're talking about plowing at that point.
I really hate that. I'm not sure if you're crying or...
I'm laughing.
You're okay.
All the way to El Banco. Uh-huh,
okay.
Yeah.
Ugh. Don't like it at all. Nope. So country music, huh?
Yeah. You know, I've already got 50 songs written from my next album.
Another thing I love is people talking about how many songs they've got ready when they go into record an album as if anybody would go into the studio with like 50 songs. So these songs, you've got these 50 songs, are they, they're all fully formed, songs?
Well, not all of them. Some of them are just like, you know, I could best describe it as little country swatches.
Oh, country swatches.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we'd all love to hear some of your country swatches.
Oh, well, I don't actually have the demos with me or my guitar, mm-hmm. but I'll do it a cappella if that's cool. I think your audience will love it.
Sure, I would love to hear it.
All right, well, one goes like, she got them painted on jeans and I want to peel off right now and I want to turn them into a Jesus quilt. There's another one. Get inside my pickup truck, lady, and I'll show you how to work my tape deck. There's one that's great. It goes, she got her panties in a bunch, so I'm taking her to lunch this Thursday. She caught me tapping other girls, so I'm buying her some pearls on Friday. Oh, but my best one is we got Hank on the radio. A cooler full of beer, and we're heading to the rodeo. Gonna get her done before quitting time.
Well, Jake, I want to congratulate you. Those are some of the dumbest lyrics I've ever heard. And
what?
That last one might have been the laziest lyric and the dumbest lyric I've ever heard.
Maybe you're the laziest and the dumbest lyric I've ever heard.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah, I don't think you know good country when you hear it.
Well, maybe I don't know good country when I hear it, but I certainly know bad country when I hear it.
Well, when did you hear some?
Just about 30 seconds ago.
Wait, what?
I heard a whole lot of it.
Oh, well, Nashville doesn't think so. You know, I'll tell you, man, I did this record in Nashville, and those old session guys, they loved me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They couldn't believe this long-haired rocker guy wasn't afraid to tell them they were doing it all wrong.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I'm sure they loved that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They loved it so much that they initiated me into the Country Brotherhood.
What is the Country Brotherhood?
Well, how it works is this. They come up behind you when you're not expecting it.
Uh-huh.
They tie a bag over your head. And then they give you what's called the country wallop.
Uh-huh. The country wallop.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
They hit you over the head with a tire iron multiple times. And then they take you out to Hendersonville.
Uh-huh.
And they drop you off in the woods with no shoes.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually when you make your way back to Nashville.
Yeah.
You have to carry everybody's gear around for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They said they only deem one initiate worthy of this every, like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. And this time they picked me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They said the last initiate was Ronnie Lee Keel.
Ronnie Lee Keel.
Yeah.
The guy who was known as Ron Keel from another hair metal clown who made a feeble attempt at making it in country music.
Hey, you can't talk to Fungi that way.
What's that?
You can't talk to Fungi that way.
I can't talk to who what way?
Fungi.
Fungi.
Yes. For your information, I'm the voice of Fungi, the hard rock and toenail fungus in those Kernco Fungo-Way commercials.
Oh, that's you?
Yes.
Well, those are the dumbest commercials I've ever seen. It's like this toenail fungus trying to, and it's like, like with a guitar behind it, as if
right.
It's like, as if it's like, as if it's like, extreme.
It is.
Uh-huh.
It's not as heavy as Back in the Saddle.
Yeah, and then you get sprayed by the spray, and then you just shrivel up.
Oh, Fungo Way, no!
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well.
No one can do it like me.
Uh-huh. Well, Congratulations on that.
Oh, you know, fungi rules and you drool and you know it. And I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
That's just one of the beloved product mascots that I give voice to.
Like, who? What else do you do?
Well, I'm also the voice of Toilet Todd in the Elger toilet commercials.
Uh-huh.
I'm the voice of Carl the Urinal Cake in those Elger urinal commercials. I'm Thicky the toilet paper roll in those Quilt Right bathroom tissue spots. And I'm also Gnarly Jack the jock itch rash in those Jock Rid Cream commercials.
Wow. Well, that's a real, real collection of proud, proud characters in your stable.
I know. And I'll tell you one thing. I even did a Bob's Burgers the other day.
Wait. You're on Bob's Burgers?
Yeah. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Everyone who's anyone is on it. Have you been on it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. Well, I guess they're making some right decisions. Yeah. You know who else is on my episode?
Who?
Jeff Galooly. Yeah.
From the Tanya Harding scandal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, oh my, you know, this is just beyond the pale. This is just, you've got all the tood still.
Right.
Uh-huh. But you know, you've gone from being like the millionaire glam metal rock playboy to being the voice of like fungus and jock itch rash.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And you don't see any difference or drop off with that. You're happy with where you're at.
Yeah, couldn't be happier. I'm totally blessed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
where I want to be.
Yeah, you don't sound particularly convinced.
No, Tom, I'm totally blessed.
Uh-huh. Well, you got my name right, at least.
Right.
Yeah. Tom. That's one thing. That's got to...
Hang on. What's going on out there? Hang on. Oh, no.
What?
Wait, let me get a better look at this. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, my God. Maria must have gotten mucho tired of my guano.
Uh-huh.
And made some calls.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, no!
Yeah.
Dios mio! That Mexican death mobile has dos bonitos!
So, two horns, oh, no. Okay. What's going on there, Jake?
Oh, no! It's El Chapo! He's standing in my driveway!
Okay, El Chapo.
Oh, my God!
What?
He just took out and set up this Mexican catapult! You're never going to guess what's in the catapult!
What? I have no
idea. It's a VW Rabbit! He's gonna launch it at me!
Uh-huh.
Oh, no!
Hey, Jake, this might not be the best time to ask, but, like, what differentiates a catapult from what you're calling a Mexican catapult?
You know, that's a really good question. And then I'll tell you one thing. It's a lesson for yours truly not to make assumptions about things. You know, it actually reminds me of this time I was partying with Ozzy. And, oh no.
What?
Oh no, he shot it.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah, my house is totally glass.
Hello, Jake? Oh, my God, that's it. He's gone. Oh, my goodness. Oh, jeepers creepers. Who could have? Oh, my goodness. His house was totally glass. Could never have... I guess that's why you don't live in glass houses, huh? What are we doing here? What are we doing? Other things I got to talk about here. Still looking for, I got an email from someone. I put out the request for someone from who appeared in a Papa John's commercial to call up. So I'm still looking for that. Someone did email me about that, but I'm still, we have not, gotten them on the air yet. If you have appeared in a Papa John's commercial with Papa John, I will keep you anonymous. Or if you've worked on the crew, I would love to just talk to you about it. Completely anonymous. I want to know what it's like to be on the set of a Papa John's commercial. And I want to ask whoever it was that sent me the Mickey Dolenz LP, the best of the MGM singles. It was not cheap, but you sent it to me, and it, thank you. I appreciate it. Do you want to switch in the other, visitor? And, I believe next week we will be doing an AMA, an Ask Me Anything. It'll be a Sharpling and Worcester AMA. There'll be more information on that. I'll tell you all about it on, when that's gonna be. But it's coming. Coming to Reddit. How about that? Maybe do some of those writing prompts. Maybe the funniest thing, that's a whole other show we're gonna do. Are these, there's a thing called writing prompts on Reddit where it's like people try to pitch, story ideas to like get your writing going. And it's really awesome that the world will have more terrible Star Wars based, fiction in it. I think that's awesome. Hey Mike. Can you ask our lawyer friend if is that who's on hold? Can she call in 15 more minutes? Can she do 11:30? In the meantime, I'm going to go to the phones. Oh, we have tickets to all four of the Sharpling and Worcester live shows. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. You can see the dates over at stereolaughs.com/tour. Stereo Laughs, that's the word stereo, and Laughs is laffs.com/tour. And we're doing these live shows. They're going to be awesome. I'm telling you, we've got guests, and it's so much fun. And who knows when we'd ever come back to any of these cities. So if you're in Seattle or Portland or San Francisco or Los Angeles, you got to go to them. I know the dominoes are going to start dropping, man. Shows are going to start selling out. And do not sleep on that. We are giving tickets away. A pair for each city. You go on Twitter. You tweet at me, at Sharpling, and at AP Mike. And you tell Mike why you should be the recipient of the tickets. Be sure to be specific about the city. Are you getting good requests, Mike? Good, good. And also the other thing with Mike, and if I gotta say this, otherwise I'll never hear the end of it, is he cried to me, and almost, and when I say cried, I'm not saying that figure, he was almost in tears, that he's not verified on Twitter. And this is something he takes very, seriously. He needs to be verified on Twitter, and it's a fair point. It's a fair point. He wants to be verified. I don't have a connection anymore to the Twitter, Twitterazzi or whatever you'd call it. If you know how to get Mike verified on Twitter, please, contact me, contact Mike. It's something that means a lot to him because otherwise he could very well have, one of these guys from Masses posing as, like, I don't know, like who, Jungle Jim Jerry or whoever? Who is it again? Jimmy Windows. Jimmy Windows could set up a parodic account and pass himself off as AP Mike. Wouldn't want that to happen. And the topic again on the table, crimes against showbiz, where you you make the case, you tell me something, and we will build out, we will get our lawyer friend Grace to help us explain what the convictions would be. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Dan and Carney. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? Dan and Carney. Now, this is a regular caller, this guy, Dan and Carney. And for people listening, this is a thing you don't realize, Dan. This is not New Jersey 101.5 local radio where everybody just, Carney. People don't know what or where Carney is. I'm going to tell them. Carney is a town in New Jersey that, imagine a tire fire. Just imagine a burning tires, right? Now imagine that they took the form of a town. And yeah, maybe throw in a pizzeria or two and some places where cars get fenced. And then you've got Carney. Is that fair?
Yeah, maybe a few more pizza places.
A few more pizza places. So I went a little too light on the amount of pizza places.
Yeah, probably. I think so.
So, Dan, do you have something for the topic? Is there a movie or a song that you want to hear what the legal ramifications would be for the character in that song or movie?
Yes, there is.
Let's see. What is it?
There's a song where there's a little bit of violence.
All right.
Some harassment.
Give me the name of the song.
The name of the song is Hey, AP Mike.
Hey, AP Mike. That's by Gary the Squirrel.
Yep, Gary and the Heartthrobs, right?
Gary and the Heartthrob. I'm writing this down. And are there any lyrics you want to bring up to...
Well, I would say is you're getting bopped by a squirrel, and then what's the lyric? I'll knock you out and put you in the pavement. I think that's the way it goes.
I think it goes, gonna punch you out and watch you hit the pavement.
Oh, okay.
And everyone will know that Gary the Squirrel is the champ.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And then there's, of course, the verbal, you know, sort of the harassment angle where you know, you're as dumb as a box of rocks.
Yeah. Well, so there's the dumb. He's calling him dumb in it. Okay, I'll bring that up to the lawyer.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, of course. Best Show, you're on the air. Hello. Hey. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi, this is Emily from Austin.
Emily from Austin. What's going on in Austin tonight, Emily?
Well, there's a lot going on. I actually have...
Is it weird?
Yeah, it's still weird.
Are you working to keep it weird, or are you trying to make it more normal? Be honest.
I'm actively very weird, and I'm not doing it for any particular purpose.
How weird are you? Do you have like a, what pets do you have?
Well, okay, maybe it's not that weird, but I do dance alone in public a lot.
Okay, well, that's fine. Where? Like at a laundromat? Like a Flaming Lips video?
Just like, no, I'm not alone. I have my dog with me, but it's in a park.
What's your dog's name?
Andre.
Andre. What kind of dog is Andre?
He's a boxer.
He's a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever sing the song The Boxer to Andre?
No, but I will now.
Right?
Yeah.
In the distance, there's a boxer, right? Now you're going to sing that, and you're going to go, Andre. La 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 la, Andre. All right. Neither here nor there. What do you have something for the topic?
I do, but I'm concerned that my top one has already been
said.
All right. Well, don't worry. Don't worry about it. What is it?
Okay. Well, it's Weekend at Bernie's.
That is one we are going to bring up. But tell me why. Give me what I should say to the lawyer.
Okay. There's two aspects I'm curious about. The first one is, how illegal is it to not report a dead body and to keep it hanging around you if you're not having sex with it or whatever? And the second part of it is,
okay, I'm gonna just breeze over that. Sorry, I'm just gonna breeze.
The fraud aspect.
I'm gonna breeze over that part, that final thing you said there.
Well, that's I only said that because that's the only context in which I've realistically heard of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the movie, it was all fun and games. So I'm just wondering if that maybe is like a lesser crime or, you know, sure. How illegal is it?
Okay. I think that's a great one. I had definitely had it written down, but I wanted to hear somebody explain their take on it.
Okay.
That's a great one. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later. Bye. I'm being told there's somebody on the hotline who wants to discuss a hot topic. I'm being told Joe is here. Joe.
Hey, Tom. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
How's it going?
It's going all right. What's going now? You, Joe. Joe, you do a podcast. True or false?
That's true.
Okay. Now, tell me, what is the name of this podcast?
The podcast is called The Trap Set.
The Trap. I'm going to write this down. The Trap Set. And this podcast is about what? Are you doing some sort of, is this like a deliverance type scenario where you bait the woods and you're trying to get people to fall into like pits and things? Is that what this is teaching people how to do that? Well, I condemn that.
Well, it's kind of maybe like in an existential way, but it's actually really just about drummers and their lives.
Okay. It's about drummers.
That's right.
All right. Now you got me. Okay. So it's not illegal. Now I'm with
you.
All right. So it's about drummers and their lives. Like, and why on earth would you call me to talk about that? Why? I cannot think of one reason what you would have to talk to me about drummers.
Well, one of your associates happens to be our guest tomorrow, John Worster.
What?
It's true.
So John Worster, of Sharpling and Worster fame.
That very John Worster.
The John Worster who will be performing on the West Coast tour. He will be appearing at Numo's in Seattle on Thursday, August 27th. Doug Fir in Portland, Oregon on Saturday, August 29th. And San Francisco at the Great American Music Hall on Thursday, September 3rd. And Los Angeles at the El Rey Theater on Saturday, September 5th. Tickets available over at stereolaughs.com/tour. That John Worster?
That very John Worster.
The John Worster who drums with the Mountain Goats and Bob Mould.
That same John Worster.
He's on your show.
He is.
Tell me more.
We're going to put his episode up the minute that your show ends tonight. It'll be available at midnight.
All right. Well, so you did it already, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we did it when you guys were in town last,
okay,
a couple months ago.
And it's a sit down.
It's a sit down, and we talk about his life, and we talked about how he got started in music, and how he got started in comedy, and sobriety, and all sorts of different stuff. We don't even talk about drumming at all, really.
Okay, I want to hear this. Where can I hear it though? Where?
Well, you can hear it on iTunes. Or you can hear it on our website, thetrapset.net.
All right. Thetrapset.net. The traps, that's drum sets, right?
That's right. It's short for contraption.
Okay.
That's what they used to call the drum set in the early days.
Who else has been on this show? Who else has been on? You have Carmen Appice. Carmine Appice been on this thing?
Not yet. We haven't had Carmine yet.
What about the guy responsible for, the talking drum? Right? Bill Bruford? You get him on there?
Not yet.
Right?
Bill's retired, so I don't know if he'll do the interview yet.
Yeah, he could still talk about Lark's Tongues and Aspic.
That would be cool. I hope so.
Get him on there. Say what it was like making Red. Boo doo doo boo doo boo doo boo doo. Bang, ring, 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 ring. Although you're not interested in that part. That's guitars. You hate guitars at the trap.
I love guitars too.
You do?
Yeah. Maybe the spinoff podcast will be all about guitars.
The spinoff. So you guys are going. You're launching. You got a whole industry going over there.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can't wait to hear this thing.
We've had other friends of yours, like Cliff Scurlock, formerly of the Flaming Lips. Oh. He told us all about that debacle. And
great guy.
One
of my
like
favorite
Drumbo,
people.
Who played in Captain Beefheart's band, and
he
Billy
was
Gotham,
so wait,
legend.
But Drumbo was a guy who, fun fact, was kidnapped by Captain Beefheart and held in a torture chamber. With other members of the Magic Band as they recorded his albums.
Yeah, actually, he talks about that a little bit. He talks about Beefheart beating him up and turning the other members against each other.
Man, I tell you, I love nothing. I go back, this is what I do. I get a time machine, here's the order of things. First thing I do, go back, make sure Billy Crystal does not enter a comedy. Do something.
Right.
Right? Second thing.
I'm with you.
Then we take care of Hitler, number two. That's one and 1A. You could do one. Maybe I do the Hitler thing first. Third thing I do, I go back, find Captain Beefheart, and smack him around. Right? You little bully. You weird, right? Weird bully. Yeah, you know what it's like to be a bully? Dabu. I'd go to him and go, Habu, Dabu, Dibu, Dubu, Du, right? Sing his own songs right in his face. Moonlight in Vermont, right? Smack him. Right? How's that feel?
I don't know, man. He might have gotten you under his spell.
Nah.
Drumbo's a smart guy, and he fell under Beefheart's spell.
I'll get him under my spell.
Okay.
Right? Major, it'll be, Commander Tom and his magic band featuring one. I'll force him into the Paul Rutherford role. Frankie Goes to Hollywood
to
style.
That.
Right? He'll be my hype man.
Sure.
What do you want? No, I'm kidding. Mike. So you know what you tell? Okay, I'm going to talk to her. Joe, everyone's going to check out the trap set, and they're all going to download it, and they're all going to enjoy this interview with John Worster that sounds like something I really do want to hear. And everybody else is going to want to hear it because John is the best dude going. So
he pretty much is.
Well,
thank you so much, Tom.
Of course. Thank you, Joe. And you
have a great night.
Keep beating those drums, my man.
I will.
Right?
I will.
Keep your sticks high and your drum pedal tight.
You know it.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. What line, Mike? Okay. Okay. Coco wants to nominate for the topic. Coco from the Etz, friend of the show, wants to nominate Lady Willpower, It's Now or Never. That song by the amazing Gary Puckett, who his greatest hits album would be called Exhibit A in a trial. Because he's crooked as the day's long, man, that guy. But I think I might just put Young Girl up. Just, this is going to be an open and shut case. The People versus Gary Puckett. Best Show, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
This is Matt in Houston. Am I on the air now?
You are, Matt. What's up? Hey, this is Tom,
hey,
Matt. What's going on?
I want to know what happened to Neil Young in Powderfinger.
Wait.
You know that song?
That sounds like a suicide, though. Right? because his face flashed in the sky.
Well, you're good.
No, I just paid attention to the lyrics. He put the gun up to his face. What do you think happened?
Wait, hold on.
Put the rifle to my eye.
Who shoots themselves in the eye? I think, like, he was using his eye to aim. And then, like, he shot the guys in the white boat. But, yeah,
well, why'd his face splash in the sky then?
Oh, yeah. No, this is,
Yeah. You nincompoop. Think about it. Get off my phone. Best show, you're on the air.
Think about it.
Hello?
Yeah, I didn't need to hear me bouncing back at me like that, but what's up, buddy?
I'm sorry. I listened to you.
Look, I don't need to know why. Just let's get to it. Well, who is this?
My phone isn't very good.
Yeah, no kidding. Who is this?
Andy Kindler.
Oh, my God. Why am I being mean to you? It's Andy Kindler.
I thought you were doing the bit.
No, I wasn't. I was actually honestly being mean to a caller. I didn't realize it's one of the titans of comedy, one of the King, Andy the King Kindler.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Right?
I would continue if I were you. I wouldn't go that. I mean, I'm self-effacing now. Well, that's nice. There are many good comics, and I'm happy to be one of them.
Now, you, Andy Kindler, andykindler.com, at Andy Kindler, one of the, you're what they call a comics comic.
That's right. I'm the comic you hate to listen to. Oh,
uh-huh.
That's wrong.
Uh-huh. Because.
I love when you, that to me is a total.
It's the biggest insult going.
What you felt about that last joke.
But calling you a comics comic is a super, it's a huge insult, right? And it's like a backhanded compliment. It's like saying, right. Yeah, no, humans don't like you, like paying customers. You're not a paying customers comic. You're a comics comic.
I also like when people over-explain it. Well, he's not saying funny jokes. That's not what he does. The joke is the deconstruction. He puts it back in your face. He says, "Why are we laughing?"
But you do. You turn it on everybody, like with your legendary. You're also, many refer to you as the bad boy of comedy. Like you're a bad boy. You're like meaning that your jokes are from Abbott and Costello. You do a lot of. Their material is what that means.
Mr. Fields comes over and he says, "Look through this little thing," and I take ant paste. That's my favorite episode of Abbott and Costello, is when they mix up ant paste with antipasto.
Ant paste.
Yeah, because antipasto comes in the can.
Yeah,
and you always keep it next to the ant paste.
Now that sounds like. That sounds like Abbott and Costello really just wanted to be anywhere other than filming this thing at that point. Fine. You know what I picture when I hear that? I picture one of them going, "Yeah, we could sell that. Let's just do it and get out of here." Like, yeah, I could sell that. Just make sure it says ant paste really big on the can. I'll sell it. It's stupid, and if you idiots ever write something that dumb again, you're all fired, but I can sell that.
I could stop watching their show when I was a kid, and I didn't understand Stinky. It bothered me, Stinky. It got to me.
Now, Andy, you do the state of the industry thing where you go to Montreal and you turn a mirror to the business of comedy and you make all these people look at themselves and see the what they really are.
Right.
And how's that working for you?
Well, first of all, I was thrilled. I got a shout out from you.
Yeah, that was, cause I listened to it and you're giving the business to everybody. You're giving it to Seinfeld. And to
Seinfeld.
Ricky Gervais.
I don't think I hit Ricky Gervais this year.
Didn't you say some atheist thing? And didn't you get a thing in there with that?
Probably.
But who you gave the big, who, Seinfeld was the big one, right?
Well, Seinfeld was the big one because he didn't, because he really, I love that show, Seinfeld. I watch reruns of it all the time. Mm-hmm. My wife enjoys it. Mm-hmm. Who am I turned into? But I.
Look, they can't hire you anymore. They're not making more of those. You can stop.
I feel like every ship has sailed. I really don't think that long anymore about what will happen.
At this point, you're not even sure if Andy Kindler would return your calls.
Right, I'm turned off by what I'm doing. I don't want to be associated.
You're stepping. Andy Kindler is stepping away from Andy Kindler at this point, looking to distance himself.
I like to distance myself from my own act, as you know, and then when I say something weird, I go, who wrote this? That kind of a thing. I hate when I launch into an actual line from my act. And so it makes me a fraud.
Uh-huh. Now, with your act, which is very fresh and very contemporary and just... You do this thing, the state of the industry, which people can hear online, and it's really funny. Because the Seinfeld thing, you're giving him the business because he was complaining about how he couldn't tell certain jokes anymore, and it's like when did this guy become like the guy, you know, he's doing the equivalent of somebody who wants there to be a draft once he turns 50. He's like, you know what? There really should be a draft.
I think he got very, I mean, it was very strange because he goes on this, I don't know if you listened to the Cowherd show.
No, I didn't hear. He was on Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, that's where it all started. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that he doesn't, that two things bother me, that he doesn't play colleges. He doesn't play them.
Yeah, because he's moaning about I'll never play a college, as if he's not playing anywhere that's not Las Vegas.
Yeah, casinos, various casinos.
Yeah.
And then, so he does that, and then he just decides that the PC police are around. And meanwhile, this guy has said the most ridiculous things over his career. He used to say everybody had to be clean, clean, mm-hmm. clean, clean.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying... he admires, you know, Louis C.K. is not afraid to say anything he wants to say. I mean, I don't understand is he saying that he has that he would do a child molestation chunk? I mean, I don't really know what he's saying.
Well, you know what he's saying now? He's like the guy who is like the guy behind the guy who's beating people up and who like is yelling at the person getting beat up. Like, yeah, we're beating you up right now.
Right.
But he's not punching anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, I know it's superficial, but I know I'm filled with rage. You don't have to tell me that. But at some point during the day say, I've got $1 billion in the bank. What am I worried about?
This is what I'll say about that guy. And, I've never seen anybody more proud of how much money they have than that guy. And more gloating about that he won, that he just won in life. Like he just, rather than there's no graciousness to any of it. He flaunts it. It's like he's trying to make you feel bad that you didn't win like he won with everything.
Well, he was on Seth Meyers, and he goes into this whole thing about how he doesn't even want to be on the show.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in the show.
Yeah, well, he doesn't
have
to.
And I don't want to do a pre-interview. Why should I have to do a pre-interview?
You know what I would have done then? You know what I would have done if I was saying? I would have walked him out. Great, you don't have to be. Get off my show, right? Get out of here. What are you gonna not invite me on the marriage ref? Right? You're not gonna let me. Not gonna let me drive around in a Model T with you. If I bounce you off my show right now. You're not going to let me drive we're not going to be on the Van Wyck Expressway in a Packard, right?
I just love that he is I just love that he. And on the other thing is that a lot of it's based on this one bit that he does, where he says,
"Who are these?
Don't you hate these people with the iPhones?" And then all of a sudden they start operating it like a gay French gang.
Yeah.
And it didn't get a huge. That's the thing that bothers me. He's never gone. He's never taken a risk in his stand-up. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld was a risk because they did great stuff.
Yeah.
But one joke doesn't get. They don't stand up and cheer him.
Yeah.
And now he's predicting the end of comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Because he, you know, this guy's a bum and a rat and a he served his purpose. We got this one great thing from him, but everything else is like it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet at a place that where they serve food out of toilets. And look, I know that's a very elegant metaphor, and it might be one that you've heard one too many times. So I know that. It's a little cliched, but there's a reason why cliches are cliches, because we hear them so much because they're true. So the cliche about the cliche that I just said about eating at the all-you-can-eat buffet that is served out of toilets.
Right.
There's a reason why that's worked itself into the common lexicon of people. I'm becoming you. Oh no, I'm becoming you.
Why is he typing? Hey, welcome to my world.
No.
But maybe that should be my catchphrase. Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my world. Yeah, yeah, I like that. And, like, you should underline, like, you could have it be like, welcome to my world, but then people aren't sure how that it's phrased if they see it just written out, and you're just like, no, it's not welcome to my, it's not like you're doing, welcome to my world, like you're singing that song. It's like, no, welcome to my world.
Yeah, from the guy who brought you join the club. It's welcome to my world.
From the guy who brought
from
you.
From the guy who brought. Now, have you covered the whole Billy Crystal and how that show, were you riveted to the comedians? It was about, first of all, they did it, I don't know if you've seen this before, but they did it like a fake, it was fake a documentary. I don't know if you've seen that premise before.
Well, I gotta say, I started watching it, I was a little terrified. I was like, do these guys know that they're being filmed? I actually called over at, I called his management, and I was like, hey guys, I just want to let you know, I think somebody might be filming your client, unbeknownst to him. I think there's... You guys might want to look into this. I think there's some sneaky doings going here, where they're filming him and putting it on television.
Oh, so that could be the actual truth. It could be that Billy Crystal thought it was an actual sketch show.
Yeah,
because they were saying like he would. The thing that's so great about the thing that's so great about Billy is he'll stay in makeup for 8 hours, mm-hmm. dress up like a swamp thing. Just so they can use that as a launching off point. Hey, we're not going to do the swamp thing, bitch.
Yeah.
And then they get in an argument with Josh Gad. And I don't know when Josh Gad arrived on this. Nobody alerted me that he was going to be in everything. He jumps out of my mailbox in the morning for just 10 minutes. When did Josh Gad? Why Josh Gad?
Yeah. Andy, this is. I wish I had all night to talk to you. I have a lawyer on the other line. I have a lawyer who's waiting for me to pick up.
I blew it.
No, you didn't. No, you scored. This was like a cameo that no one saw coming, and everybody just had a blast, and then they wish it could keep going on, but the clock says otherwise.
We just don't have time to go further.
We just don't have time. When are you coming to New York City again?
I'm going to be at the Union Hall thing again.
Really? When is that?
Yeah, Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanksgiving. Will you please come here? Can we figure that out?
I would love to come to the studio. But what if I come to the studio and pull a Kindler like I did tonight?
Oh, I would love nothing more than to have you here for 3 hours. I'm telling you. Please, come by.
All right. Hey, you know what? Tom, I have to go too. You know,
I know you're a very busy man. Very busy man.
I'm very sorry, Tom.
Okay. No, stop.
I'm glad I could be the sorbet.
Well, thank you for calling, buddy. I do appreciate it. I'll talk to you
later. I love you, man.
I love you, too. Bye. See? We love each other in show business. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy. It's Bonaventure in Canada. How are you?
Bonaventure. Do you have something for the topic?
Yeah, I had Jareth the Goblin King.
The what?
Jareth the Goblin King from the Henson movie The Labyrinth.
I don't know what that is. I mean, I know what Labyrinth is, but I don't know what he did.
Oh, he kidnaps a baby, coerces Jennifer Connelly, and he has, like, a bunch of, like, ugly Muppets.
Yeah, that one's upsetting me. That's upsetting me. I'm hanging up on you. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
Good. This is Evan from Saskatchewan.
Evan from Saskatchewan. What do you have for the topic?
Well, for the topic, I was thinking Hider in the House, but I had something else for you, Tom.
What do you got?
Well, you were talking about Garrison Keillor earlier and
yeah.
Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you could be, because I'm sort of a bumpkin, a rural person,
uh-huh.
if you could be, maybe you could be our Garrison Keillor.
Of Canada?
Brooklyn Home Companion. Tell us about Nintendo and jump rope, pup crawls, and all that.
No. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Alex from Toronto.
Alex from Toronto. What's up, Alex? You got something for the topic?
Yeah, I have an idea. I was thinking about Rushmore. There's a scene where, I hope this isn't spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen this movie yet, but...
Oh, stop. You're really worried about a spoiler of movies from 1996? People had their shock.
Culture's changing, man.
Culture can change back if it's such a thing as a spoiler from 18 years they've had to watch it. I'm telling you this also. If somebody will email me and tell me about this movie, The Gift, that's coming out now, the Jason Bateman movie, I have no interest in seeing it. I just want to know what the twist is. If someone would email me and tell me the twist, I would appreciate it. So go ahead. What do you got there, champ?
So there's the payback scene where, set to that Who song.
Yeah, quick one.
Max Fisher and Bill Murray go back-to-back. And the one thing I'm wondering about is, so Max Fisher sets loose bees in his hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bill Murray runs over his bike after breaking the chain on it, which mm-hmm. is, like, that's double illegal. And then Max Fisher cuts his brake lines, which he does get arrested for, I think. But what I'm curious about is it actually illegal to set loose bees in a hotel room?
All right, I'll ask on that one. I'll ask what that would be. All right. Thanks, buddy. I'm going to... Hello, Best Show.
Hi.
Hi, is this Grace?
It is.
Grace, how are you?
I'm doing still pretty good.
All right, we got a bunch of things I want to run by you. So strap in. Get ready for this. First one, Weekend at Bernie's. Two men gallivanting with a corpse. And they're pretending that the person's alive. They're putting them in boats. He's flying into the water. They're not reporting a death, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what would the charges be for that, for running around with a corpse?
Well, in that case, it is a crime called concealing a death, and that is a low-level felony.
Concealment of death?
Concealing a death.
Concealing a death. Okay, and that's a felony. And what would the charge, if those two guys, let's figure those two guys, neither one's going to flip on the other guy. They're both going down, Menendez style. What is the sentence for these two, monsters? Cause at one point, I will say this, Grace, at one point, they expose a child to the corpse also. So there's child endangerment. As well, there's a child who buries the corpse, and as if he's burying like a person in the sand on the beach. So he's playing with a corpse, which is ghoulish.
I will give you the child endangerment. If it were just the concealing a death,
okay,
I believe that I could get them off potentially with a community service and fine, believe it or not, given how low the felony is.
For the amount of gallivanting that they do with that corpse, they're sticking things to his head. They're stapling his toupee on. They're beating him.
Interestingly enough, desecrating a corpse, at least in my jurisdiction, is only a problem if it has been buried in a cemetery. And if I recall, he had just died.
So you're saying, but let's add in the child, the ghoulishness of involving a child in it.
Maybe a little bit of jail time.
Okay, some jail time. So what are we looking at? Six months in jail?
Somewhere around there, 6 to 8.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
More for endangering the child than gallivanting the
corpse. Right. Now I want to read some song lyrics to you. Are you familiar with? Well, I'm just going to read them to you. You tell me what you make of this. Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. With all the charms of a woman, you've kept the secret of your youth. You've led me to believe that you're old enough to give me love, and now it hurts to know the truth. Beneath your perfume and makeup, you're just a baby in disguise. And though you know that it's wrong to be alone with me, that come on look is in your eyes. So hurry home to your mama. I'm sure she wonders where you are. Get out of here before I have the time to change my mind, because I'm afraid we'll go too far. Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl.
Oh, my God. I sang that. Along to that.
Yep. You sure did.
Oh, man.
So let's say that that's Exhibit A, right? Then this gets entered into Lady Willpower, It's Now or Never. Give your love to me, and I'll shower your heart with tenderness endlessly. I know you want to see me, but you're afraid of what I might have on my mind. One thing you can be sure of, I'll take good care of your love if you will let me give you mine. Lady Willpower, it's now or never. Give your love to me, and I'll shower your heart with tenderness endlessly. Did no one ever tell you the facts of life? Well, there's so much you have to learn, and I would gladly teach you if I could only reach you and get your loving in return.
Okay. Those two combined, I think, would be something called solicitation of a minor to commit an unlawful sex act.
Okay. And what would somebody get put away for that for?
That would probably be about 2 to 3 years, and some period of time on the sex offender registry.
Okay, so Gary Puckett would be in jail for 2 to 3 years, and come out and would be on a sex offender registry when he got out.
Mm-hmm, I'd say at least 10 years.
Okay. He'd do a good 10 years. So would he, when he would go to play a show, would he have to tell everyone at the show? First, he'd have to tell the Union Gap that he was a sex offender, right?
Yes.
He'd have to tell the other members of the Union Gap, I am a registered sex offender. And then when he'd be playing a show, like it would be like the Grassroots, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, and the Lemon Pipers. It would be like, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Puckett is a registered sex offender.
Like a reverse Elvis instead of...
Yes.
Gary Puckett is leaving the building. Puckett is entering the
yes.
building.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Puckett, a registered sex offender, has entered the building. That would be the announcement. Here, I'm going to read something else to you.
Okay.
Different. So Gary Puckett, 2 to 3 years on a sex offender registry. Here's one thing. One foot on the brake and one on the gas. Well, there's too much traffic. I can't pass. So I tried my best illegal move. A big black and white come and crush my groove again. Go on and write me up for 125. Post my face wanted dead or alive. Take my license, all that jive. I can't drive 55. So I signed my name. So he's already in front of the judge here. He says, then he says, here's the thing. Like, so he seems like he got put away for this already. Like he got sentenced. Because the judge says, boy, just one more. I'm going to throw your ass in the city joint. Looked me in the eye, said, you get my point. I said, yeah. So then he gets out of jail, and then he says, when I drive that slow, you know, it's hard to steer. I can't get my car out of second gear. What used to take 2 hours now takes all day. It took me 16 hours to get to L.A. Go on and write me up for 125, post my face wanted dead or alive. Take my license, all that jive. I can't drive 55. So he got put away for it, and he's reverting to his old ways. So this is a repeat offender. What happens to Sammy Hagar in this situation legally?
Well, honestly, not a whole lot. Okay. He would lose his license for a year and get a fine.
Okay, so he loses his license.
Okay. And gets a fine.
All right. Not doing this Van Wilder one. Sorry. That's disgusting. The movie School of Rock, Jack Black impersonates a teacher and accepts payment and then takes the kids off campus and puts them into a battle of the bands.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something called obtaining property by a false pretense, and that covers his paycheck because he's getting paid to be a substitute, if I remember.
Yeah.
But as to taking the kids somewhere, that could be kidnapping.
Kidnapping! So what kind of charge is Dewey from School of Rock looking at?
That is, if I am thinking correctly, I believe that is first-degree kidnapping, which is the worst kind of kidnapping.
Okay. Which would be what kind of sentence here?
Oh, like, he could go to jail for a long time because they could have their sentences go consecutively.
Uh-huh.
So we could be talking more than life in prison.
So life. Let's just say life in prison. Okay.
Life in prison.
All right. I think we have one more. Somebody wanted to know, some weird caller who this one's a fringy one.
Okay.
From the movie Rushmore, Jason Schwartzman lets off bees in a hotel.
He lets off what?
He brings in like a box of bees, like live bees.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I suppose that could be some form of assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay, so it's okay. Cause then Bill Murray gets stung by them.
Does anybody die?
No, nobody dies. He just gets stung by them.
Yeah, if it's just Bill Murray, I'd have to go with assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna throw that out there. That's a good one.
And how long does that put him away for?
I don't know, probably about a year.
A year. Final one. In the movie Pixels, Kevin James shoots a Smurf. I haven't seen the movie. I'm just seeing the trailer. What would you get for shooting a Smurf?
Smurfs are not people, so at least under the law, so nope. I'm going to have to go with Kevin James is discharging a firearm in city limits, community service for a dismissal.
All right. Grace, I have to say that you, this has been so awesome. You've been so awesome to do this and super funny. And I hope we can do this again. And thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you so much, and just thanks for the opportunity.
Yes. I can't thank you enough, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye. That was fun, right, Mike? And Mike picked the winners of the, of the tickets. Let's go back to the phones. Any of these, you should, if you're on hold right now, we're not talking about the topic anymore. So, are we doing a half hour power tonight?
Yeah.
Guys, we're doing a half hour of power. We got a special guest is going to be in on it. You going to do it? I want this guy to be a secret. It's going to be a secret on the half hour power. Is that all right that it's a secret? Give me a thumbs up. You didn't even nod. This guy knows how to play the secret game. I tell you. Got this Paul Bruno, moaning on Twitter. Man. You guys got a sweatier Twitter account than Harry Dean Stanton and Repo Man. Man, Harry Dean, you see every movie Harry Dean Stanton, that guy is, if there was a Hall of Fame for people who sweat, I'd be in it, right? Harry Dean Stanton would be in the Hall of Fame like this. Every movie's sweaty. You know what I mean? He's in a cheap suit and he's sweating up a storm. Every movie. Looks like somebody dumped a bucket of water on his head. Every movie, Harry Dean Stanton, guy's sweating up a storm. And Paul Bruno, he's the Twitter equivalent of Harry Dean Stanton. It's a sweaty Twitter account. Either he's browbeating me into not following the letter of the law with his band, or he's complaining about some wrestler, or he's moaning about Staten Island. Tell you. So we're going to do the half hour power. It's going to be 3 hours of unscreened calls, and you should, we'll do it in a matter of minutes, and we'll reveal our special guest, super caller. That's all I'll say, super caller. And being that the other super callers, this one's a surprise. This one's the surprising one, I think. Yeah, we'll do that. So you're going to call 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Evan again from Saskatchewan.
Ah, Evan in Saskatchewan. What's up?
Well, I was wondering, am I on the half hour power?
No, not yet. Quite. No, I said Best Show, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering, you ever sit around and listen to those conversations where people who are thriving to be in the industry, like, do their own projects and stuff, mm-hmm. and they talk about it so confidently. Do you ever feel, what do you feel like when they reference things that you love or things that you care about as they're motivating, but you can tell that their content will be much less than that? Is that...
What are you talking about?
You know, if somebody's like, oh, I'm a filmmaker, I want to be like Quentin Tarantino, or I want to be like so-and-so.
Sure.
And does that frustrate you to the point where you want to give up, or does that frustrate you to the point where you want to make them look foolish by doing something better?
Look, this is a two-parter. First of all, you got to just worry about your stuff. Don't worry about other people.
Right.
But secondly, and more importantly, so you're hearing all these conversations, huh?
Yeah.
Right? Eavesdropping, yep. Right?
Uh-huh.
Hearing those people in their private discussions, right?
Well, they talk right? quite loud
yeah.
on purpose.
Right? Oh, they're talking quite loud in their house, right? Right?
Yeah.
But there you are on your little step stool, right? Creeping your neck up over the ledge, looking in. Right?
Trying to be a part of it.
Seeing what you can see.
Right.
Peeping up a storm. Maybe right. You hear some stories. Yeah, oh, this one guy. He's talking about how he wants to be Quentin Tarantino. Yeah. What's he watching? Oh, look, he's watching Inglourious Bastards. I wouldn't mind watching a little bit of this. Through the... Can you watch... Is it satisfying for you to just watch, like, a movie that's not, like, through a window now that you can hear? Like, is that, well, that not at a weird... Like, when you go to a movie theater, do you sit in the front row to the absolute left or absolute right so that you can replicate the way you normally watch movies, like at weird angles through windows? You peeper. Get off my phone! Peeper. These peepers make me sick. Right, Mike? Well, my friends, the time has come for the best show to end. I'm gonna. Calm down. Oh, this guy. Yeah. A real Bob Morton out there running the show. Really good. Don't worry. I got my, he's running the Tonight Show, right? Who ran the Tonight Show? Greta Van Susteren. What was her name? The guy's name? What? Yeah, the guy. The producer of the Tonight Show. I can't remember what his name was. Fred DeCordova. Thank you. Here are the winners of the tickets. These people have won a pair of tickets to the cities that they will, and they will see Sharpling and Worcester live. And everybody else, if you didn't get your tickets, I'm telling you, man, you go to Sharpling and Worcester. No, you go to StereoLaughs.com, LAFFS/tour, and all the links are there for the tickets. Seattle on August 27th, Numos. The 29th at Doug Fir in Portland. Then taking the show down to San Francisco. And Sharpling and Worcester will be live at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco on Thursday, September 3rd, and then closing it out Saturday, September 5th in Los Angeles. Go see these shows. The winners of the tickets, Seattle, CJ, at a Database Animal, one for Seattle. Got Portland, Pepe. Warded, I don't even know what this is. Warded Talls? Warded Hall. Something about yoga pants. Then San Francisco, Winston at the Palmer Feed. What's this, a Shrimp Connect? Mike's making his more shrimp connections. And another, somebody else promised him free shrimp in Los Angeles, Tito Perez. So congratulations, you people have won a pair of tickets. We will get in touch with you. Thanks for listening. The Best Show will be back next week. Fun times. This is a fun show. Right, Mike? Yeah. Right, Dudio? Yeah. Right, Pat? And we will be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. The Half Hour of Power is coming up next. Call 201-332-3484. Unscreened rapid-fire phone calls with our special guest, who? Dave from Knoxville. That's right. Stay tuned. It's in studio. We'll talk to him on the Half Hour of Power. I'm going to send us all out listening to a song from the new album by No Joy, called More Faithful, on the Mexican Summer album. Here's Remember Nothing.